Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yes, we have a lot to talk about this morning. I was just thinking about yesterday. Shopping in some major department store chain that we all know and love, carrying my gun. And I was thinking in Buffalo. I carry a gun a lot of times anyway, just because it's my right as an American. But even more so when I think about, you know, the tragedy that happened in Texas and the fact that we have these victim zones. I mean, the whole country, you look at victim zones, New York subways, Buffalo shopping centers, all places where people are disarmed, schools. Looks like we got Josh online. Haven't heard from him for a while. So let's take a look real quick and verify. But the real tragedy is the tragedy of what's not being reported. You know, I got a bunch of notes here. So I've got a ton of things I want to go through. Bill Fecky's not going to be joining us this morning. He's got a previous commitment this week, but he'll be back next week. But there's a lot of things I want to talk about. And I'm listening last night to Brandon. And the first thing that he goes to is the gun control, the NRA. And what struck me so fascinating about this is that what the left is really saying is that the reason school kids are being killed is because of freedom, your freedom. So the real enemy here is freedom. You know, it's freedom expressed by law-abiding gun owners, you know, doing law-abiding things. And that's the problem. And that somehow, if we affect the law-abiding and take away the rights of people to own and carry firearms, that somehow that's going to stop criminals. Well, I don't think there's a case in the world you can think of where taking away the rights of the law-abiding has ever made anything better. It certainly didn't with COVID. You know, the reason we have a million people dead is because of the lack of information, the lack of the actual blocking of the drugs and treatments that we know work in favor of the ones that don't. And the evidence is quite clear. The treatments that work, those people are still here, defying the government, and the treatments that the government recommended have killed almost a million people. Let me take Josh right away, and then I'm going to give him a few minutes to talk, and then I want to Karen, because I do have a lot of stuff planned today. Josh, I haven't heard from you for a while. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. I think a lot of the stuff comes with depravity. Obviously, the shooter down there in Texas, he paid for that depravity with his life. My problem when it comes to this stuff, especially with the 2A topic, is that you can remove the tool that an evil person will use to commit atrocities. It doesn't mean that the evil person's still not going to commit atrocities. They're going to find another way, you know, whether it's what happened in the UK, what happened in France, you know, bombs and burning down things. You don't take away a single tool and everything is just utopia. And I think I think we should probably focus on the evil person.
But why is school? Why, you know, I talked about this last week, and I want your opinion on fame. I think one of the biggest problems is fame, is media attention. This person's face, even though they're dead, and no real loss as far as I'm concerned, other than human life, loss is loss. But I mean, this particular person killed a whole bunch of people, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over this. But the point is that fame, I think, is a big factor that we don't talk about. The outrage, you know, the fact that anybody who does something like this, they're going to get their face and name splattered across the world. Splattered is the wrong word. I should apologize for that. But the thing is, they're going to be known, and they're going to get their fame, and they're going to go into the history books, and they're going to go into the media, and there's going to be coverage. And there's all kinds of analysis of this. But the reason that the Buffalo murderer went to Buffalo was because, you know, there's a much far less chance that the citizens there are even able to carry a gun. I don't think they can in New York State. I'm not sure. Maybe some parts of New York State, but maybe not Buffalo, it being a city. The fact that it went to a black neighborhood as a white person because everybody was going to, you know, use the racist claim, you know, and do that. And you haven't seen that with this particular shooting because the shooter is Hispanic. You know, killing white kids. I'm guessing the white teacher certainly. I haven't seen the faces. I will. I want to, you know, take a look and see who these people are that we've lost. But they, you know, the media, you haven't heard racist or Hispanic supremacist hate crime or anything like that. You know, what really bothers me, besides the tragedy bothering me, but the knee-jerk reactions of the media that is so upset by this, the outrage, and rightly so, you should be outraged. But where's the outrage for all the kids who were killed with COVID shots? Where's the outrage for the parents, you know, that took their kids to the doctor or wherever they got their COVID shot, that said, it's going to be okay, you're going to be fine, you know, that sat there while they got the COVID shot, and then, the child died a week or two or a month later. You know, is the tragedy for those parents any less, maybe even more, because they brought the kids there and they watched it happen, and they could have prevented it, you know, than the children who were lost to this murderer? I don't know.
That's a legitimate, that's a legitimate actual response, because, obviously parents that volunteered based on, some advice from people that they trusted that they thought had the most, you know, we want you to succeed, we want you to be healthy. Yeah, That's obviously terrible. The situation down in Texas is pretty much the most ridiculous thing, because the first thing that Biden said was we need to go against these gun lobbyists. That was a chance, a legitimate chance, for somebody who has been so terrible as the head of the federal government, the leader of our military, could have united an entire country.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying he could have united the entire country that was grieving for the loss of these children. And he decided to make it political. And I think that Joe Biden is probably going to go down as the worst president in history.
Well, he'll go as the first non-president in history who actually sat in the White House. But I agree with you. But any Democrat would have done what he did. But I think what's scary is the rapidity, the time at which he did it. I mean, this is within hours. Normally, the left, what they used to do is they'd wait a week or two, wait for things to calm down, wait for the tragedies to subside a bit, right? Wait for the initial trauma to kind of die down. They don't wait anymore. It's almost like they're gleeful. It's like, oh, boy, you know, these speeches are ready to go. These laws are ready to go. The people that want to take guns from the law-abiding, which will have nothing to do with these criminals, you know, but the people that would take guns from the law-abiding, they felt the same way yesterday before this happened. They felt the same way the day before Buffalo. You know, what they didn't feel the same way before is the murder of the parade folks up in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You know, I don't see any claim to take SUVs away, and yet they are a deadly weapon when used illegally. In fact, anything is a deadly weapon. A pencil. You can kill somebody with a pencil used illegally. We're going to ban pencils? No.
I heard that John Wick took three men out with a pencil in a bar. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that they're trying to take they're talking about taking the tool away.
Mm-hmm.
Today, and this has been a repetitive thing. You know, they keep doing this. This has been like 3 or 4 decades long. They're trying to take the tool away. Crazy people are going to do crazy people things. You know,
but there's a disconnect, though, Josh. There's a disconnect between people don't seem to see this, that taking guns and rights away from law-abiding people doesn't affect criminals. They have nothing to do with criminals. Criminals, by definition, don't obey laws. You know, criminals by definition steal guns. You know, so there's a disconnect.
That does seem to be the trend.
but I use this example all the time. You know, it'd be like trying to say, well, we're going to prevent bank robbery. We're going to confiscate all the money from the depositors. You know, that's irrational. Okay, in the same way, but it's just as irrational to say we're going to stop tragic murders in schools and other places. You know, by taking guns away from the people who might protect the children. Huh? Yeah, there's a giant disconnect here because the government always wants to take rights away. You know, I did a lot of work, and I'm still doing most of the work is done in Australia on an Australian Bill of Individual Rights. And then one of the things we talk about most strongly is the fact that government will use any excuse to take your rights away and increase their power. So what is the real problem with guns? Guns are the ultimate individual power and citizen power against government. So that's what they're really talking about here. What they're really talking about, they don't want to take away guns. They want to take away freedom. And the first freedom that they want to take away is guns, while increasing the amount of guns that they have. If guns are so bad, why do we let government people have them? Are they any different than the rest of us? Why do we have, thousands and thousands of armed agents? Obama increased the amount of armed federal agents and the stockpile of millions of rounds of ammunition. Really? Do they do that because it's unsafe? I don't think so. You know, so let's compare apples and apples. Go ahead.
Well, it's the concept simply. It's the concept of a 110-pound, 5-foot-tall woman and a 7-foot-tall, 250-pound man. Mm-hmm. The 250-pound man intends on attacking her, and she just so happens to have the Great Equalizer gun. Do we allow her to be a victim so that everybody feels safe, even though safety is never promised? No, I'm sorry. Safety is promised all the time, but safety doesn't exist. Or do we allow her to defend herself and go home that night? That's the ridiculous conversation we're supposed to be having right now.
Well, and that's the same thing that people that want to say that, 18 to 21-year-olds, I mean, Geraldo Rivera was making this stupid argument last night. And we're talking about that. Well, why do we let 18-year-olds buy an assault rifle? Well, because they might be a single mom, you know, with a stalker of an ex-boyfriend or husband who's trying to kill them and their kids. There's a good reason, but you don't even need a reason. See, this is the thing, too. You don't even need a reason. You know, 18-year-olds are adults. Can they drink in a bar? No, but they used to be able to. But that's a different story. But when it comes to rights, a defined right in the Constitution that everybody has the right to defend themselves, which means you have the right to the means to defend yourself. So the idea that an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old single mom or single dad, you know, can't protect themselves just because they're under 21, you know, that's a death sentence if they have a problem that could cause them death. You know, like a stalker, a crazy ex, anything, a bad neighbor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know, and we don't have to make that judgment. Mm-hmm. They do. You have to allow people the ability to defend themselves, especially when we have that right so ingrained in the Constitution. And we can talk about alcohol another time, but I don't see alcohol in the Constitution. You know, but it's a fascinating argument. Now, let me keep you on for a while because we have a lot to talk about. I think I can kind of go through my list with you. So the next thing I thought about was abortion, and the same mm-hmm. people. It would be ironic if the Roe v. Wade decision came out today, because of the very same people that are screaming to take guns away, you know, to stop murderers from committing these horrible acts in schools, are going to be for, you know, making sure that Roe v. Wade stays and that you know, people have the right to kill unborn children. You know, we've lost half the black population of this country to abortion. You know, you compare that to 18 school children. Is 18 school children a tragedy? Absolutely, but so is half the black population of this country. That would
so I
be
think
here
it's
otherwise.
19, by the way.
19 what?
I think that 19.
It was 19? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to neglect anybody. Yeah, no, that's fine. Let me know that. But you know, compare that to millions. You want to talk about genocide on a mass scale? Abortion is genocide on a mass scale. Now, I think that I heard some blip on the news. There's been some 900 incidents of firearms incidents at schools. Not all of them resulted in murder, but that's a lot. I don't know how many school murders there have been, but you want to talk about murder? Let's talk about Dr. Fascist. Dr. Fascist is the greatest mass murderer in U.S. history, who is responsible mm-hmm. for withholding early treatment, withholding information, for getting, you know, having doctors lose their license, for having $100,000 plus go to hospitals and even up through coroners and everybody else involved in COVID if they prescribe remdesivir and ventilators and the patient dies. So they're paying $100,000 to kill people with COVID, basically. You know, and you want to talk about, and that's not, where's the outrage in that? This guy's still in the news. He should be in jail for the rest of his life. I wish his life was longer.
Yeah.
So he could suffer more in jail.
Just alone presenting the legislation that allowed governors in New York and Michigan to force elderly people back into nursing homes, and it ends up killing tens of thousands of them. Yeah, that mm-hmm. might be a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, and so the governors, you know, like Widmer and the governor of Washington, I've forgotten who that is. See, in Washington State, that's where they first brought the COVID patients into the nursing homes. That should have told everybody, don't bring COVID patients into nursing homes. And yet they did. Andrew Cuomo and I think Gavin Newsom in California, I'm not sure. But let me put it this way. Any governor who knew what happened in Washington and brought COVID-positive people into nursing homes is a murderer, pure and simple. And yet, where's the outrage over that? Where's the news coverage over that? You know, gun tragedies are I shouldn't say gun tragedies. Murders that involve school children are tragedies because they're kids. We don't want to lose kids. You know, and yet the same people that want to take guns away that might save those kids are perfectly willing to have those kids been taken before they were even born. They're perfectly willing to jab those kids and force everybody else to jab their kids with a COVID snake oil shot that in many cases is going to kill them also. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not, I'm not trying to equate the two exactly. In fact, actually, I think more people are going to die of the COVID shot, far more. But the thing is, it's it's an issue that we need to talk about. There is an equivalency here. You got a little background noise there.
I'm sorry. No, I just I close it out. Go on.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So anyway, I got a bunch of notes here. I think we're kind of going through the things I want to talk about. Let's talk about so what do you how do you weigh in on the abortion question and why the outrage isn't there for that? It is for a lot of the country, but it's certainly not in the news. You don't hear a news report. 19 people were killed in a tragic Texas murder, but 15,685 were killed by abortion, or whatever the total is. I don't know, but you don't hear that.
Well, I guess it's all focused perspective.
Yeah, we have misplaced outrage.
Yeah, I know. But that's what it is. I'm saying when it comes to a lot of the stuff, like the reason that everybody should be really angry at abortion is the same reason that we look at child murder as terrible, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. you see those kids, you know where you are in your life, you see those kids as potential. Go past the fact that they're human and everything. I'm saying that the potential for them to do anything in this world, it's the same thing every time they call it a fetus, they call it a couple cells, whatever they're talking about. No, that's wasted potential. Those kids are the future.
Yeah. Well, it's not only – see, the problem with abortion there's many problems. But not only does it take the potential life of the person away and everything they were going to do, it takes away their kids and then their kids and then their kids down the line. So how do you know the next Einstein wasn't two generations away? The tragedy never ends. I just had a huge lightning strike outside my window, and we had one Sunday that took out my modem. So we're still in the air. But just to let folks know, if we disappear for any reason – because I do live in Florida and we are prone to lightning strikes. And even though I have a great surge protector, it blew out my internet last time. And so this one was within about, 100 yards or less. That last one was really close. Did you hear it on the air?
Yeah, I heard a little snap.
Yeah, it was real bright. And I'm like, am I still on? So if it happens, if my modem goes again, that's it. The show's over. But otherwise, I think we're okay. So if you're still there, then things are good. All right. So I got a lot here to talk about. Let's get on to baby formula for a minute, because we're going to cover a lot of issues. I have a couple articles I want to get before we get to Wendy and the Oh My God report. I know she's going to have a lot to say. She has an abbreviated report today too, so we got some time to chat. I'll probably let you go at the top of the hour, but let's go through this.
That's baby. Fine.
Okay. Well, if you want to go earlier, that's okay too. I want to give you the option. But like I say, I kind of want to apologize because I had a very special guest, and I know you were calling in, and I know you wanted to chat, but I really wanted to cover a bunch of material. So sometimes that's going to happen. So callers call in, and if you don't get on the air, it's because I really want to get a certain amount covered or within a certain amount of time to sort of keep the show unified and keep the podcast unified. All right, let's get to baby formula. We've got a government that and a big tech that says you can't make your own baby formula. You could kill your kids. All right. So think about that. So we have a government that raided the Abbott Labs place because they had some kind of bacterial thing. So instead of doing a recall like is normally done with, romaine lettuce and E. coli and things like that, they closed down the factory. I don't know if they confiscated the baby food or whatever they did with it, but they stopped it. And a lot of our stuff comes from China. So they induced a baby food shortage. And then our reaction here on the show was we said, okay, well, what if you want to make your own? Baby formula is not that complicated. We got milk, syrup, vitamins, minerals, various other things tossed in there. It's not that hard to do. So we published a recipe for baby formula. And the first thing that happened was Facebook immediately, in fact, there's Pianki now, right on schedule. In fact, it was Pianki's idea. So he says, when I grew up, grandma and mom made baby formula. Okay, so here's your government saying that we're going to steal your baby food. We're going to take the food out of the mouths of your children, and you can't do anything about it. You can't make your own formula because that's dangerous. And we got a Facebook warning within seconds of when I post that baby formula on our regular Facebook page, the Action Radio group, which is where anybody can join and post stories related to Action Radio and things that we should be talking about. And they gave us a warning. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Pianki, welcome to the show. You're on with Josh. Josh from Illinois, Pianki from somewhere in the Midwest or New Orleans. I don't know which right now today. Pianki?
Oh, good morning, Greg and Josh. Yeah, wasn't that something else that you posted, a Gerber baby with a recipe for baby formula that was used when I was a child? And then you have these factions, part of the deep state and other interests. Come
yeah,
on, and say that.
You know, militant, you know, big tech. Yeah, and there's a warning. Don't do that. Don't mix. And, well, let's go to it right now. Let me pull that up. I'll tell you exactly what the baby formula is. This is kind of interesting. Oh, I got an article I haven't got to for a while, The Left's War on Childhood. Probably going to do that in the third hour. Like, this is a day of, for a lot of, because we have a lot of time today, we have the third hour as well open. So let's go to Facebook and the Action Radio group, and let's talk about this baby formula. Josh, what do you think of the whole thing about the idea that, you know, we need to ban guns, but the government's stealing baby formula, stealing food from kids?
Well, I think it's really hilarious that they're trying to mandate who can do what with baby formula when we're literally having that shipped over from Europe right now, and they're handing that same stuff over to illegal aliens. I'm just saying, this is a really ridiculous clown world that we're living in right now. They're handing it over to people that literally, they committed a federal crime to come to this country. We're handing it to them, and we're having to import stuff from a foreign land to come here to make sure that our kids are fed. I don't know. This, I mean, at what point, you know? At what point are you just laughing?
Because well,
we're complaining. Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
You don't know what's in this that the military is bringing and landing and wanting to distribute. You don't know what's in it. So why don't you retake the baby formula that was produced in America that you shipped down to the southern border? And if you want to give baby formula to immigrants, give them this foreign shipment. Why do you want to take a chance at poisoning Americans?
Yep. Well, because illegals have more rights than Americans. Now, we had a woman on the show Monday. She's running for office for the Florida State House, Kyanne Michaels. Her son was killed by an illegal alien. So you look at some of these crime reports. Now, was this they say the person that who I will not name, A, I don't remember it, and B, even if I did, I wouldn't mention it, who murdered the kids in Texas, was an American citizen. It's interesting that at least it was a New York Post. At least they checked on that. Or was it a Fox News report? At least they checked on that. You know, but there's so many illegal aliens who are killing Americans. You know, probably, I don't know how many per week, but may it be 18 or more killed by illegal aliens somewhere in the country. We have a country of 330 million people, probably 280 million of which are illegal. 50 million are probably not. And yet we're not talking about that. So we got 2 million extras plus terrorists. We've got terrorists. They're actually bringing terrorists into the country right now. So who's going to be responsible when they kill people?
They're trying to kill who? Were they trying to kill the president?
Yeah.
A planet on it?
Well, they announced an assassination attempt against George W. Bush. Yeah. By terrorists.
Yes. I was just going to say
it's actually interesting because a lot of people have this idea in their head that it's Central Americans and South Americans that are coming through the border. But then you actually look at who's actually coming in. There are people literally flying from the Middle East, Asia, mm-hmm. and Africa into mm-hmm. Mexico to cross the border illegally. And
yep.
who knows who they are, because we don't ask those kind of questions. You know, we're America. We're apparently accepting everybody who comes through. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you don't hear about a lot of abortions of illegal aliens either, because they're probably encouraged to have kids and under the bogus birthright policy to make them citizens, even though they're not. So here's my baby formula that I found. Natural baby formula recipe. 1 teaspoon organic olive oil, 1 teaspoon organic coconut oil, 1 teaspoon organic brown rice syrup, 1/8 teaspoon blackstrap molasses. I probably put more in than 1/8 teaspoon. That's not much. Liquid multivitamin dosage according to directions. 1 teaspoon powdered goat's milk formula or farm fresh goat's milk. 1/4 teaspoon infant probiotic. This goes in 1 bottle per day. And then they have directions of how to make it. Now, is there anything in there that sounds dangerous? Between the organic olive oil, coconut oil, brown rice syrup, blackstrap molasses, multivitamin dosage, powdered goat's milk or real goat's milk, and a probiotic. Anything in there... A problem? It sounds pretty good to me.
No, that sounds pretty legit. Sounds like nothing is harmful.
Tastes
at
good
all.
Too. Tastes good.
Yeah. Here's another problem too. Let's. Fortunately, we've got some time to cover these things today. Maybe it's the schools themselves that are the problem. You don't see this happening in private schools. You don't see this happening in homeschools. Oh, yeah, sure, parents kill their kids. We know that. That could happen whether they're homeschooling or not. But just the idea of it being a school. These things happen in government schools. So maybe if you really want to make kids safe, maybe we should look at these government schools that resemble prisons. Maybe they're breeding a prison mentality. Maybe they're breeding felons. Maybe they're making kids unstable mentally by the processes of indoctrination of the left. Maybe the schools themselves are the source of these problems. If it seems to me that the murderers, by and large, are from government schools, maybe the government school psychotropic meds that the folks in Columbine were on, those two, the boys that did all the big murders there, they were on psychotropic drugs. We talked a lot about that back at WBY, and actually I had a show years ago in California briefly, and that's one of the things we talked about. You know, is the meds that these kids are on. Now, was this person medicated? Maybe the psychology industry, maybe the psychiatry industry has a lot to do with this, because most of the kids that did this were on some kind of drugs or a psychological treatment or psychiatric treatment. Psychiatric has meds. Psychology does not. So, gentlemen, government schools, then we'll talk about the meds. Government schools. Could the government schools, in fact, be the big problem here?
Well, government schools in Chicago, if a child brought a brown paper bag lunch, they would be in trouble.
For what? Not having the school lunch, the school approved fat, or whatever's in those lunches?
No, if you brought a brown bag lunch from home to school, rather than eat the school provided food, you would be in trouble.
But why though? Is it a law? Is it a regulation? Is it a policy? What's going on?
It was a policy of the school that you couldn't bring a brown paper bag lunch to school. You had to eat the school provided lunch.
I remember school lunches. Sloppy Joe, spaghetti. It was really starchy. You know, and the vegetables tasted like cardboard. You know, nobody ate the vegetables because they tasted horrible. So they'd cook them to death.
Just like now, I can't get no Juneteenth ice cream from Walmart.
Why not?
You have your activists got pissed off about that, saying that here you got a white company that's exploiting a black holiday. That
what,
they
what
want everybody
black holiday?
To get off work.
You know, so Black History Month is only for black people? No one else can look at it? What's going on here? Well, you post something about Juneteenth. You should probably explain Juneteenth. I don't know if a lot of folks know exactly what it is and why is it getting so controversial. And is it actually a holiday?
I think Joe Biden declared it a holiday. Joe Biden of Congress declared Juneteenth as a holiday. Juneteenth in 1865 was when slaves found out that Abraham Lincoln had freed them. Which he really didn't, because Abraham Lincoln didn't have any control over the states that had seceded. And he didn't have control over the Indian nations who also had slaves. So that's where they get there from. The only slaves he had control over was those that was considered as contraband who had escaped to Union lines. But everybody else in the other states that seceded, he had no control. He had no control over the slaves that was held by the Native American nations. Matter of fact, they didn't release theirs until a year later, and they'd done so under getting paid because they were giving up their property.
You know, it's interesting what's freed the slaves. My understanding is the 13th and 14th Amendments, especially the 14th, which made rights apply to state law, local law, as well as federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And the 13th, which banned slavery. So that's what really did it.
Have you guys seen that video with Don Cheezel?
All right, hold on. Let's just go Josh and then Jackie. Mm-hmm. Josh?
Guys seen that video with Don Cheezel? He was the second Iron Man sidekick in the Iron Man movies, like 2, 3, and the Avengers. He went back. He's a black man. And he went back and he was like, I want to find out about slavery. I want to find out about my family's origins and whatnot. And he found out that after America, normal America, had already declared that slavery was illegal, we've already abolished it, he found out that his family members, his ancestors, were still enslaved by a native tribe. And yes, I agree with you, sir. Yes. It did not apply immediately to the native tribes.
Well, let's talk about modern slavery. Let's talk about modern slavery. Democrat-controlled cities, Democrat-controlled public housing, substandard housing, substandard education. How many people may not have died necessarily from that, but had their spirits killed, their dreams killed, their ambition killed, their mind killed, they're being indoctrinated with a permanent victim status? You know, there are many ways to kill a person. You can kill a person by taking away their spirit. Go ahead.
Have you seen that movie, My Dinner with Andre?
Yes, I have.
Oh, that little line that defined the entire movie.
Which one?
Is the one where he's like, you know, I'm from New York City, and, you know, we have this concept where, you know, you always want to leave, but you can never escape, and we're so proud of this prison that we've built for ourselves. But that's all cities are. You have this concept that you can't leave.
I don't know. I did. I was in the Bay Area for 30 years.
Yeah, no, me too. No, I love Chicago. I promise you, I'm right there with you. I'm just concept of pride.
You know, those that say you can't run away from your problems haven't tried. You know, my problem was the Bay Area. I find a geographic solution sometimes very appropriate. I left Boston for the same reasons. I couldn't stand it there. So I went to California, had a great time for a while, you know, when that ended, it was time to go. When it was time to go, I came here to Milton, Florida, near Pensacola. All right, so
you're gonna have a hard time leaving Florida.
Ahead, I'm not leaving.
You
Florida.
Know this stuff.
Go ahead.
You know this thing is basically a critical race. It's a mold theory, like when they got rid of Aunt Jemima pancake mix, Uncle Ben's rice. And wanted to get rid of everything else. This is a bunch of hogwash. To complain because Walgreens puts out an ice cream with the package with the words Juneteenth on it, celebration, and so on and so on, that's just totally ridiculous myself.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get rid of the racist ice cream. You know, at some point, people are going to have to start laughing when someone says, well, that's racist. You're insane. You know, I mean, ridicule is the best cure for tyranny. There's a reason that I make fun of Brandon. There's a reason I call it the gelding old party. The reason that I say Dr. Fascist. I'm ridiculing him. You know, I mean, pointing out the tragedy of him. Go ahead, Bianca, I'm sorry.
The Emancipation Proclamation. You know, you remember Tina Turner?
Mm-hmm. She's still around.
Tina Turner renounced her citizenship, and she's living someplace in I forget where.
Oh, okay.
So you mean to tell me that the U.S. State Department has control over her?
No,
she said goodnight.
But right. On the other hand, she can't go to an American embassy for refuge or help or aid.
Well, she don't want to. But
well,
here's
fine.
The point: when most states seceded from the Union, they were saying goodbye. So how in the heck do the president have control over those states that said goodbye? You know, and it's similar to Tina Turner and others who have left the United States and went to live elsewhere.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that secession is legal. You know, what the Confederacy did was legal. The basis for it, slavery, was not, obviously, but the idea of secession is legal. California may do it. Maybe that's a good thing, you know. But
the idea of
a sacred union that can't be touched or changed. I mean, if it can be added to, it can be taken away from. What if Alaska wants to become an independent nation? You know, what if
that was the entire concept behind the American idealism is that we're a united state. That's the entire point. Is that we're states that are separate, but we are unified and. the Civil War, yeah, there was a lot of slavery about it, but I'm just saying that the South, they were trying to have their, like, basically independent countries as states. And
well, the states, that's
we were like,
set up as independent countries. In the Articles of Confederation,
yes,
you know, when I said, as I said,
it's not different.
Go ahead.
It's not different today. No, it's the same thing. Like, if you look at the Illinois Constitution, it completely contradicts the federal Constitution. So
I believe that.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask both of you a question. You listen to, you hear the word slave and you think of something awful. But look, listen at this, Josh. If I was your father and I owe Greg money, and I said, Greg, I don't have them here, I'll let you have Josh and you can work him on your farm or whatever for 6 months. Well, at that point in time in society, you was considered a slave. It's not the word meaning that's applied today.
That's
so
not what
is
that,
that
would be. That's an indentured servant. I'm Irish. I know what that word means.
Yeah. Well, yes, you could say
you're talking about labor for X amount of time without pay. Yeah, that's indentured servitude.
In a society, they don't know nothing about indentured servitude. That's, they don't know it's indentured servitude. So
that's
in African society.
Yeah, that's illegal.
No, it's not.
The 15th Amendment.
It's not. It's not illegal in the society. You can't go back in 1600s and say that the people in those society were doing something illegal. That's what they done.
Oh,
and
no,
in Africa,
man.
That's what it was.
Many people came here under indentured servitude. Many immigrants in Europe came here. But here's the 13th Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, which would be indentured, except as punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, there's your due process, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So there you go.
That was the 13th Amendment. But in 1492 in Africa, matter of fact, do you know who taught the world slavery?
Africa. Yep.
Taught the world slavery. Mm-hmm. They had all different forms.
I thought it was the Arabs.
You know, it's funny, we don't give Africa and the Middle East enough credit for creating slavery. We should do that more
often. The word slave literally comes from Slav, Yugoslavia, the Arabs enslaved Eastern Europeans. Go on, guys.
Yeah. I want to change subjects in a minute.
What the word slave was in the language of the Akan? You don't. You go
in,
to the Akan talking about Slav, they look at you like you was crazy. So that was a recent discovery.
No, slave.
The
Slav comes from the word slave. So the Slavs were known as the slaves. It's just, it's a, you know, slight
pronunciation. Yeah, I know.
Let me ask you this question.
Do
the Slavs have white skin?
Not a lot of them, actually.
No, Eastern Europeans do.
African had slavery before they even met anybody with white skin.
Yep.
Everybody had slavery before everybody met everybody.
Well, that's kind of silly. Let me change the subject here.
It was not illegal. And what's going on today is you're admitting and going along with this foolishness that is being put out there by the left.
Well, let me ask you this one question before I've got an article here. Are school shootings more likely to occur in public schools from the Cato Institute, written in 2018? I want to get to this in a second. But let's talk about modern slavery. Are people not a slave to a job, to a government through taxes, to a society that says what you can and can't do?
No, they're not,
because they
leave whenever they get ready.
Okay.
There's no slavery today because you believe whenever you get ready.
Yeah, but there's a mental slavery that people don't, people are in a kind of mental bondage.
Slavery, you got to use that word respectfully, because the word itself means that you are doing something without compensation. You're creating a better service without compensation. That's not true, Josh.
Back then, the slaves did get paid.
How'd they get paid? Oh, food and room and board kind of thing?
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
Well,
they had to get paid,
didn't
they? Well, let's give you an example. Did they not buy their loved ones freedom? So what did it? Harriet Tubman left, I forget where she left to, went to Auburn, New York, and bought up acres of land to create arches. She bought
a
business.
Did she not run?
Did she not run? What do you mean, did she not run? She
did
didn't
she
run from, I think
she
was in North Carolina.
Slavery
she didn't run,
by running?
She didn't run from, she didn't run from North Carolina to Auburn, New York. No, if that's what you want, a marathon.
No.
But
no,
where
I'm
did she get the money to buy that land?
Did she escape slavery by? Hold on, I'm saying, did she escape slavery by leaving voluntarily from an involuntary situation of slavery? That's
no,
what I'm
didn't.
Saying about running.
She was married. One husband got killed. Then she married a younger man, much, much younger than her. And he
yes,
fought,
I
believe he fought in, he fought, he also had a military pension because he fought in the war. Don't you know these things? This is
I'm aware of, yes, I'm aware of her story.
I'm not. I should be, but, you know. Let me hold this up for a second. Let me bring us back to our topic du jour, because I'm curious your reaction to this. Cato Institute, April 11th, 2018. Are shootings more likely to occur in public schools? Which is my contention that for many reasons we'd be better off without government schools, because I think they're targets. The article says the Parkland shooting, even almost 2 months later, remains a painful topic, and there seem to have been many very important factors at play. One that hasn't been discussed very much, but probably needs to be examined, is whether the kinds of schools students attend makes a difference. At least one author, Stella Morabitu at The Federalist, and I've got that article too, we'll do it in a little bit, has discussed this and has identified many problems that she thinks are associated with public schools, ranging from their large sizes to their seeming hostility to Christianity. Comments so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been supporting the concept, and we are not going to have this anytime soon. But school choice, a lot of the times when bad things happen, they're in very urban areas. And if you had school choice, the kids going to that school, that just shows that their parents are either lazy and didn't fill out the form, or they don't really care about their kids. I'm saying that's the reality of the situation.
No, there's a bigger problem that the parents aren't offered school choice.
That's not true, because you're saying it's not happening soon. You're saying it's not happening soon. There are states that allow school choice with vouchers, like Missouri.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but that's not a national thing, and that's the problem. It should be a national
that's because
choice.
That's because the federal government don't have no control over public schools. Public schools come into existence by way of...
Is there a Secretary of Education?
Only on programs that school districts allow themselves to engage in that's provided assistance from the federal government. But if they don't, we have two school districts in Missouri, Ladue and Clayton. 97-98% of the funds to run those school districts come from the local concern. They take hardly nothing from the state. They take nothing from the federal government. Federal government has no control over those schools.
Yes.
Yeah, but the federal government doesn't
pay
for it. They can't control.
Exactly. But I'm saying that like Article 2, like Paragraph 6 of the United States Constitution says that states are not allowed to create laws or any precedent that contradicts the federal government's constitution. And I'm saying that when it comes to school choice, yeah, Missouri might be ahead of the curve on this one, like some other states. But I'm just saying, like, yes, homeschool would probably be the best option for everybody at all times if a parent could teach their values.
Josh, there is no Section 6 for Article 2.
Article 2. What was it? No, it might have been Paragraph 2.
Josh, okay. The federal government has no control over the states in that manner you just mentioned.
No, Article 2. No, I'm telling you, the state cannot contradict.
Are you talking the Supremacy Clause?
The federal government's decree.
Are you talking about the Supremacy Clause?
Can you read it out for me so I can have a...
No,
because
I want to get back to the school situation here. We're kind of getting off track again. But basically, the federal government is supreme where they have jurisdiction. They have jurisdiction where those powers are delegated to the federal government through the Constitution. That's the difference. Let me read more of this here. It says all the problems that she discusses, and this is the woman in the Federalist, may be factors. School size has been suspect for a long time, but as a starting point, we ought to look at numbers. So Haiwan Kim, that's Hyewonkim, a Cato Center for Educational Freedom intern, compiled information on school shootings in the United States from 2000 to 2018 using the Tribune Review database. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, it sounds like a newspaper. The database is limited to legitimate school shootings, that is, shootings that occurred on or near a K-12 school campus while classes were in session or when students were present. I know this is kind of a clinical way to look at it so closely after Texas, but we need to do it. The list also excluded suicide-only incidents. Haiwan found 134 school shootings from 2000 to 2018. Only 8 of these occurred in private schools, while 122 occurred in public schools. The type of school should not be definitively classified for 4 of the shootings. Anyway, as shown in the figure below, about 94% of school shootings that could be classified that way occurred in public schools, while only 6% occurred in private schools. Since there are many more public schools than private schools, we must consider the difference. And they got all kinds of stats and things like that. But basically, private schools are safer when it comes to violence.
Well, yeah. Other thing is that private schools charge tuition, and parents that are coming from poor situations can't afford it. And I think that even I don't care what your economic background is, if you can take advantage of vouchers following the child. School choice with the voucher follow the child, then that should be your prerogative to do so. Yep. In Texas, the state of Texas allowed teachers to have guns in the classroom. I don't know exactly how many districts. I think it's over 200 that allow teachers to have guns. And
obviously
I think
not
that
this class,
there
though.
Would be a deterrent.
Yeah, sure would.
A school shooter.
Well, has there ever been a case of a school shooting where the teachers were armed?
I don't think that have. Now, I know some schools right there on the sign of the school, they say that our teachers are armed in Texas. Just like you got five
Have you been
states.
To school lately? You know, schools haven't changed much. I thought there were prisons when I was a kid, and I still think they're prisons in many ways, breeding a prison mentality. We'll get into that in a little bit. Here's something that, and of course, they take into account the difference between public and private in terms of income. It says, of course, considering the difference in the number of students across the two sectors does not account for differences in the types of students. After all, at least some of the divergence in school shootings found are likely due to other factors such as household income and parent education. That's what Topanga was talking about. However, a recent study by Danish Shakeel, S-H-A-K-E-E-L, doesn't sound very Danish, maybe Danish is the first name, and me, who's the author of the article, presented at the International School Choice and Reform Conference, we have to look into that, finds that private schools experience better school culture than public schools, even after controlling for several characteristics such as school size, location, racial composition of students and teachers, and the percent of students from low-income families. We find that private schools are significantly less likely than public schools to experience problems such as student fighting, bullying, and perhaps most importantly, weapon possession. Anytime you write about a tragedy and point to your favorite policy reform as a solution, it can seem opportunistic and, frankly, a little callous. But it is not groundless to think that school type could matter and nothing should be off limits for discussion to end these sorts of tragedies. I agree. Gentlemen?
Well, the only thing is that people have – some parents choose to go to public schools because of what they offer. That there should be a novel about. Some public schools offer – culinary arts. Private schools don't have the type of facilities that a public school have, especially when it gets down to sports. But there still should be a choice.
Well, what if parents had vouchers, full vouchers, and they could give the money to the school of their choice? The best schools are going to have those culinary arts and music programs and sports programs and, you know, theater programs and things like that. They're going to have an auto shop. You know, they're going to have a mechanical place. They're going to have some kind of engineering. They're going to have a garden. You know, they're going to have a farm thing. You know, the best schools are going to do all those things. Or
I'm for school choice myself.
Yeah,
and have worked with organizations to help provide it. What I'm just saying is that the reality is what the reality is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump. Never have I heard a person in the U.S. government at that level speaking on that issue so eloquently, and also its Secretary of Education, Bessie DeVos, was very, very proactive in helping parents to have that school choice option.
Yep. See, I believe in full school choice. In fact, all the education taxes should go to a voucher to every adult who can then designate, and we're including people who don't have kids because they're still paying the taxes. So if taxes go to education, you have to pay for an education service and you don't have kids, that's taxation without representation. That's taxation without, without benefit. The whole point of paying taxes is for the necessary expenses of government that are going to do things for you that you couldn't do for yourself. All right, I want to start this article here. And I won't get it finished because we're going to talk about it. And I'll pick it up in the third hour. But this is in the Federalist. This is the one the other person talked about. Stella Morabito, February 21st, 2018, 13 Ways Public Schools Incubate Mental Instability in Kids. And she says, why doesn't anyone investigate the toxic effects of today's bureaucrat-run mega schools in the wake of school shooting? It's high time we place a share of blame there. Apologists for these noxious systems continue to shift blame for their failures using the media, various left-wing lobbies, and the kids themselves as program mouthpieces for statist agendas like gun control. Meanwhile, they keep feeding the beast by mass institutionalizing. The correlation between public school environments and the deteriorating mental health of children has been intensifying for decades. We ought to consider how these settings serve as incubators for the social alienation that can fuel such horrors. First, consider how common it is for a public high school today to house thousands of teenagers for most of their waking hours for 4 solid years. More than 3 students attend the Florida school where the most recent school shooting took place. During their time in that maze, kids learn how to socialize, basically by finding their place in the school's hierarchy of cliques. This sort of pecking order dynamic tends to breed resentment, status anxiety, and social dysfunction. Combine that with the toxic effects of social media and family breakdown, and you've got a deadly brew. Don't forget the so-called toxic masculinity that the feminist school system puts on boys. And you see, and of course, the people that are committing these murders are male. You know, I think there's something to that as well. She says public schooling is increasingly unhealthy for kids' emotional stability. Let's count the ways. Well, let me stop right there, and we'll sort of take a few of these as we can. I agree. Of course, this is why I read this article. But the schools themselves are the problems. The schools are creating mentally unstable kids. The schools are indoctrinating. They're not educating. And they have kids from breakfast through dinner sometimes. They have way too much control.
It's a complicated thing. Mm-hmm. In these areas where the type of culture exists at the home, where you have a lack of authority, lack of respect of authority, then that
lack
goes
of fathers
to the school.
Well, lack of fathers.
Lack of fathership.
Also. Let's go right there.
All those things are combined. Mm-hmm. And then when you have what's being shown in media, what's being shown on videos, they take that to the school, and then you create a whole different little situation, a social group. And within that social group, you have these problems. And some kids resort to weapons in order to solve those problems.
Yeah. Josh, you want to think for a minute?
Well, I mean, you look at that stuff. I'm going to go ahead and side with you on that one because the chance of a father being in the home to actually give that authority of understanding that there are consequences is pretty rare when it comes to these kids that do the worst possible thing, like a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and say if there are two parents in the home, that's pretty much going to make it, I'm not going to say impossible, but improbable that the kid is going to be terrible and do this. I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying that I don't think any of the murderers in schools had fathers. I think that's a trend. That's part of the problem.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They don't. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A father figure in the home would have simply introduced them to the concept of consequences. They don't have that.
I think so where we really need to start placing blame is the Great Society. The Great Society that made it affordable for single mothers to raise kids without fathers by, marrying the state, as they say. So the government, the same government that mandates public schools is the same government that made possible the split between mothers and fathers and made it economically a viable, alternative. So there's a problem.
Then you got the news.
Thomas Sowell. Mm-hmm.
You got the news media. You had the black kid in Texas it was a fighting 11-year-old. He's a high school student. He was driving a Charger, a relatively new Dodge Charger, to school. So he gets in the fight. He goes out to his backpack. I don't know if it's in his car or in the hall, and gets a gun, come back and shoot four people in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Then he leaves. Later on, they turn himself in. He has a $75,000 bond, and on the way home, when he gets home, they throw a party for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the news don't treat that the way they would if it was a white suspect.
Well, look at Buffalo,
so
and look at this kid's Hispanic. You know, there's no call for a hate crime or the fact that this is Hispanic racist, Hispanic supremacy. You know, there's not a Hispanic nationalist call. There's nothing. You know, these are, I think they're mostly white kids.
You talk
about,
I don't
know the racial makeup. The teacher was white. You know, what's that?
You talk about the application of upping the charges with hate crime. Well, that's never applied to a black suspect, because if you have 4,400, over 4,400 blacks shot by other blacks in Chicago in less than a year, you don't think that any of those shooters did not use the N-word to the suspects, to the victims that they shot?
Of course not.
So would that not be an application of a hate crime? Because you, as a white man, if you did that, if you shot a black and called him the N-word, then they're going to elevate your charges to hate crime charges.
Well, I'm from Chicago, actually. And I learned a long time ago that a lot of the deaths up there, because I had to move down south, because no way in hell I'm living in Chicago today. I'm saying that a lot of that stuff was intra-racial, which means that the people that were killing people had the same skin color. So black folks were killing black folks, white folks killing white folks, Asians killing Asians. You know,
but it's not
it
a skin color issue. That's the crazy.
Yeah,
part
I know, but that, but that's,
you know,
what
but
I'm
the
N word
is the same N word whether a person's the same race or a different race or black or white.
Yeah,
it still means
I know, but this
which
is my
quite
point.
Fascinating.
This is my point.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this is my point. Yeah, I don't think that a black person would yell the N word at another black person before they killed them. It wasn't.
Well, they do. They do. I've witnessed They do. In
so
St. Louis, they do.
Hold on, Josh.
So is that...
Yeah,
no.
They do. They human beings, they do that.
I remember
the
film on Malcolm X.
Is fighting,
yeah.
If a black... You know, I'm going to tell you, I got one thing over to you. I am black. And I'm here to tell you that it does go off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is, I remember watching a documentary, Malcolm X documentary, and the people that killed him, they used the N-word right before he was shot, you know, so it happens all the time. But if you're going to kill somebody, you obviously have contempt for them. You don't value their life. So the N-word, you know, whether you're black or white, you know, saying it to a black person or I don't even know a white person, I don't know how that works. But the thing is, you have such contempt for them. That you don't care what you say. You don't care what their race is. You're going to kill somebody.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It's not the people.
Yeah.
It's not the people, Greg. It's how the law is being applied. It's
yeah,
how
true.
The media writes the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem, that's where a big problem lies. The media, if a black person commits a crime, they don't mention his or her skin color in the news as they would if it was a white person.
You got a new service called
Black Network News. Listen to Black Network News at the top of the hours on those stations that care, and listen to the verbiage that they use when they're describing incidents that's involving black people and white persons.
Oh, that sounds interesting. You know, if you have a clip or something, maybe you can post something. If they have a YouTube video, Black Network News, that'd be very interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I say, if a white person does something to another race, it's national news, it's world news. You know, if any other race does something to a white person, it's just a regular crime. All right, we're going to take a break for a couple minutes. Bundy's going to probably be here when we call back, when I come back. So let me get this done now while I have time. And then we got Chancey Cherry at 8:30, and then the 9 o'clock hour, the third hour of the show is going to be wide open too. Be in a little bit. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Panglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Panglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16 ounce glass to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Here we go. Do you really want the truth? Do you have questions you can't ask in church? Welcome to the Oh My God Report. Wendy Arthur is more concerned with truth than propaganda, putting more value in scripture than religion, and more about you and your relationship with God than your membership in any church. This is Christianity with a Kick. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I don't know if you've been following our rather spirited discussion this morning, but we've been sort of covering a bunch of issues surrounding the whole Texas tragedy. She's giggling already. The most infectious laugh in the world today. But yeah, unfortunately, you have an abbreviated appearance today, so let me let you get right to it, and welcome once again.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we do, because, you know, this is my sweet baby and I's anniversary today, so we're going to make it a nice day for
happy
us.
Anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. A little throwback to the Flintstones for those who don't know it. You're welcome.
You made a post last week, and I just thought it was great. It was a little cover from Babylon Bee, and I love the Babylon Bee. Satire.
I do my best.
But it says, local carpenter continues to spread disinformation deemed harmful by religious experts. And, of course, they were referring to Jesus, you know. And I thought, yeah, how true, because disinformation is like the big thing today, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has always been. It has always been. So I figured it would be a neat little trip down Biblical Lane to see where...
Biblical Lane? What's our theme song for that?
Yeah.
Take a ride down Biblical Lane. I'm sorry.
And see just where this is nothing new. Yeah, as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. And that is so true. Because if you go all the way back to Jesus' time, they were... truly saying that this was disinformation, and disinformation is another word.
Call it what
I
it is.
Figured, let's just call a spade a spade, and let's just get to it, and and know that was not a racial slur, people. Okay.
I wonder where that expression
so
came from. You know, I mean, truth
everything.
Is truth. How did a spade become equated with truth? Your basic shovel. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. It's a poker term, you know, because, you know, it usually, if you were going to cheat, it was with the ace of spades.
Oh.
So, you know.
And now we know.
Now we know. Okay. So, if you go back, I wanted to go and talk about some of the truth, you know, the disinformation back then that is still here today in,
uh-huh.
in the world of religion and the arguments thereof. So,
okay.
The big thing that, you know, and the reason I'm targeting these couple things is because people's belief system hinge on it. So I just wanted to go ahead and talk about that disinformation. So one of the biggest lies that and disinformation that is still being purported today is Jesus did not raise from the dead. That, you know, they stole his body and, you know, they hid it and just said that he rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, although they don't explain how he was seen actually in Jerusalem, you know, for several days afterwards, but, you know, but the lie still persists today, especially in among the Jews. You know, this is, you know, how they say that Jesus is not the Messiah. So I just wanted to go and give what I tell you and what history books say. I mean, that's nice, but, you know, let's go to the Word of God, which is truth, and then that way you can kind of hold that for yourself. And in Matthew 28:11-15, this is where it began. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large," no, sir, sorry, that's my dog. "They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say this, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears," because that was like a death sentence for them, "if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, that Jesus' body was stolen while the soldiers slept. So, again, nothing new is under the sun. They paid them off to say something and then made sure that they didn't get caught. Or no punishment came to them.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Is that
sounds
relevant
like COVID
today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is fascinating. But, you know, I'm not a biblical scholar, obviously, but isn't the resurrection one of the most documented events in world history?
The crucifixion is.
Okay.
But, you know, when there's no body there, that's they're saying this is not, they never, ever go to the next chapter and say, and because when Jesus raised from the dead, he came
right.
to Jerusalem and showed himself to the disciples and showed himself to several other 100 people there. And not only him, but he brought several of the leaders back with him. And nobody ever talked about that either. You know, he
well,
raised
let's
them
talk about
dead
that
with
because
him.
This is the first I've heard of this. So this is news to me.
Oh.
Not being a biblical
well,
scholar. So don't never assume. This is why I'm probably good for this, because all the things I don't know. So tell me about that. When was Jesus walking Jerusalem?
Well,
and that's what I mean, because I've heard that this is very well the resurrection is very well documented, but I didn't know that he actually physically appeared, that, you know, back, you know, and well, so, which
yes,
raises the
well,
question,
actually,
why didn't he stay? You know, that's a, you know, anyway, go ahead, I'll let you
why
tell
don't
the story.
We make that next week's topic, because that requires more time than I have right now. But
okay.
Yeah, and we'll
make
take
a note.
The whole half hour and discuss that, because it's fascinating.
Okay.
It's really fascinating.
This is what I love doing.
So,
this is like my classroom here, folks. This is why I'm here. You know, I create a radio show so I can learn stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So the second lie that is still perpetuated today, there are many paths to God. You don't have to go through Jesus.
Hmm.
That, you know, nobody ever gets upset if you say Buddha is the only way. They'll go, oh, okay. Or Confucius is the only way. Oh, okay. But if you say Jesus is the only way, people just get their panties in a wad. It is ridiculous. So I just need to go ahead and give the scripture references for that.
Mm-hmm.
And John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then again in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ." So you need to know that, you know, this is where people have a problem with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So the disinformation is, no, that's not true. There are many paths to God, because after all, aren't they all the same God? It's just different names for the same God. No, no, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
If God is big enough. If he wanted to be called by all, 5,000 different names, then he'd have done it. But he said, I am God, and I'm the only way, and I'm the only God. So that's where people have a problem, because they want a choice, and they think that this is like some spiritual buffet. And yeah, you do have
this
spiritual
little
buffet.
It's like in San Francisco, they have what they called the Jew Booze, which are Jewish Buddhists. Which is quite an interesting thing, a phenomenon out there. Oh, they do. No, it's all the Jews who get tired of being Jewish, they all become Buddhists because it's cool. It's a very California thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about the religious smorgasbord of life. But all seriousness aside, yeah, why not? Well, today we're Buddhist, and next week we'll be Hindu, and then we're going to study Confucius, and we'll just pick our churches. Well, because we're diverse, and we don't want to offend anybody by not believing in their religion too. But here's the question I've always had. This is the part that doesn't make sense to me about Christianity. Why is it that we have all these other religions if Jesus is the only way to heaven? We've got a lot of Jews that are pretty decent people, and they believe strongly in what they believe. And there's if Jews are the chosen people, then how come that's not a way to heaven also? There's just some, and this may be another show as well, but this is the part that doesn't make sense to me, that a generous and loving God would take a huge percentage of the world's population that has devout beliefs and have had for thousands of years and say, this is not the way to heaven.
Great topic that needs some in-depth discussion. So let's make a show out of that, because
make another note, Wendy. So listen to the podcast when you can. We're going to make up shows for we're going to keep you busy. I think did Pianki or Josh have a comment? Go ahead.
The problem is that people don't want to respect other people's other ethnic groups' ideology, because the Muslims say that Jesus was nothing more than a mere prophet. And in their society, they got a right to say that. But when you laugh at another society, another people on their ideology, that can lead to what's called religious wars.
But it's not a point of laughing at them. It is a point of saying, look, here's the truth. And I know you've held this particular belief for thousands of years, but Jesus is not going to be Muhammad's servant in heaven. That's not how it's going to be. We serve Jesus, and every knee shall bow. And that's where people have a problem. Well, you're saying that I can't believe what I believe. No, you can go ahead and believe what you believe. I'm just saying that I would like to share the truth with you, because God is God, and he said that this is the way it goes. And I've provided all of these wonderful things for you in heaven, and I'm here with you as you make this walk here on earth as a mere human being. And I help you get through this life so that you have all this wonderful good stuff waiting, and everything you've gone through down here doesn't mean a thing once you get into my presence. And you can't be in his presence forever and have all of those blessings and the good stuff if you reject him here. So it's a matter of love saying, that's a whole nother show. But what I wanted to do is get to the results of standing for the truth. Because it's not pretty. And this is what people don't want. They don't want the persecution. They don't want the saying, that's just so closed-minded and that's not love. If I can't believe whatever I want to believe and still go to heaven, even though I don't really believe that there's a heaven or hell the way God says there is, it's my version of heaven or hell that I want to believe in. That's not love to let them continue in believing that. So you have to get God's perspective of love instead of what man says love is. So what I would like to let people know is if it's going to cost you, to make a stand for Jesus Christ, because you will not be popular. You will be the butt of jokes, and you will be ridiculed, and there will be all kinds of vitriol against you. But that was not new either. It goes back to Jesus's time, because they went through that too. They were crucified. He was crucified upside down on the cross because of his, stance for Jesus. And all the disciples, except for John, were, gotten rid of in horrible ways. But they were not going to deny the faith because they knew what the truth was. And when it comes down to it, you are not going to give your life for something that you aren't absolutely convinced of is the truth. So all of a sudden, everybody who says, I'll always stand for Jesus and I'm never ever going to deny him and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to, the several of the Christians that were beheaded over in the Middle East, you know, for their belief, and arrested and tortured and all that kind of stuff, and they gave them one last chance, their faith, before being beheaded, and a lot of them did not, and a couple of them did. They say, okay, yes, I reject it. So it shows, and then they were beheaded anyway. So, I mean, it's, and then they lost their life
because at
the very last second. They
Why were they beheaded anyway? Why were they beheheaded anyway?
Because of Islam.
Because they were scheduled, because of Muslim law. So,
Sharia.
But anyway. So,
and,
yeah, Sharia,
and the
right.
The Muslims allow to handle that law in
the society. I want to keep comments to a minute because Wendy only has about 4 minutes, and I want to make sure we get her. This is a shorter than normal version, so let's go with that. So Wendy, I'm going to finish, and I have two more shows for you as well. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. So the results of standing for the truth. I just want to let everybody know that this is not just a la 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 fluff stuff and everything's going to be fine and, you know, follow Jesus and everything is, you know, unicorns and candy. That's not the way it is. So, and I want to let you know, I'll back that up with scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 21:17 says, everyone will hate you because of me. And that was Jesus saying it. And he knew what he was talking about because he lived that. And then Luke 6:22, blessed are you when people hate you. Yeah, hold on.
Why the,
when they exclude
okay, sorry.
You, hold on.
Okay.
Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And then Mark 13:13, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So, because people who do not have truth and the life of God in them, the love of God in them, hate truth. They hate anything that says I have to believe that, even though it is good for me. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with Christianity other than I hate the fact that I have to say Jesus is the only way. Because there's things in my life that I want to continue doing, and I'm not going to change that for anybody. And if you and it also messes with their power system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understand that. The reason Democrats and all liberals and progressives want everything wiped out about God and religion out of schools and all this kind of stuff, separation of church and state and all that kind of stuff, is because they want to set themselves up as the final power and authority and set them and basically be God in your life. I'll tell you what to do, even though God doesn't do that. He says, here's your choice. You know, everybody has their choice to make, but he never forces you to do anything. Everything that every choice you make is your choice. So, you know, but God is wonderful and he's love and he's benevolent. But, you know, then once you say, I reject you and I am your enemy for life, then he's saying, okay, bring it. So yeah, there's that side of God too.
God's got a sense of humor.
Can I throw a log on that fire?
Sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
Hi, Wendy. How you doing, ma'am?
Good. How you doing?
That's Josh in
I'm
Illinois.
Doing great. God bless.
Yeah.
what a lot of people forget is that when it comes to God, especially like the actual like Christian ideology, is that God is the master of love and wrath. We go out of our way to achieve love. And people that don't do that, people that do the opposite of that pursuit, will face wrath. And I don't know. It's like everyone says, you know, I'm God fearing. Why fear God? Because he's the master of wrath, the same as he is master of love. Does that make sense, ma'am?
I think that's another show too.
That is another show. But yeah, I understand that. But I would not. I've never heard the term master of wrath, but, you know, that's somebody else's circle. But there is two sides of God. Actually, there's many, many, many sides of God. But what it comes down to is there is wrath for those who have absolutely rejected him and his son. We think that Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago, right? That's what we're taught. And God is outside of time. He doesn't look at something, my son was crucified 2,000 years ago. God's perspective is, my son was crucified for you today. every day. Today, my son was crucified for you. It's not some historical fact that happened in some dusty, pages, years ago. No, this happened today for God. It's always, he did not sacrifice his son for us for no reason. It is the way that makes it possible for his love. So if you sacrificed something so great for someone else, and then they said, basically, screw you, don't need it, I don't think that would make you say, oh, okay, that's fine, come in anyway. No, that's not how it works. So understand God's perspective is, did not happen 2,000 years ago. He was crucified for you, period, every day, and paid that price for you every day. So there is that side of God is love, and that's what he did out of love to bring us into his love relationship. And then those who mock him and mock his son and mock the Holy Spirit and reject him, and not just reject him, but fight against him with everything they've got. No, that's, love is not reserved for them. So,
yes, ma'am.
I got to jump in here for a second. Wendy, do you have more time or do you have to go at this point?
Got to go. But okay. I thank you for this time. And let's and Josh, I appreciate your input. That's great. And Priyanki, you too. I just love it when people jump in and we have a real conversation, because it's about being real. It's not about sugarcoating anything.
I should probably tell you when we have other people on the line. But I got two more shows for you too. The next one would be the line, "What Would Jesus Do?" I hate that line. You want to talk about lies? another one here I wrote down. Churches have used heaven as a way to oppress people for centuries, particularly feudalism. And then I had a thought that, where the government thinks of government as freedom and God as slavery. And I think of it the other way around. I think of God as freedom and government as slavery. So there's three topics for you to note in your podcast for later. Okay. And good comments, Josh and Priyanki. Thank you, Wendy. And we'll do it again next week.
Y'all be blessed.
Good night,
God bless, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
The most infectious laugh on the face of the earth. she's busy. This is her anniversary day, and she has a bunch of stuff to do. So normally we have her half an hour. I could have her on for an hour. It should be easy to do. But now I can let you gentlemen talk for a bit. We've got about 7 minutes before Chansey joins us with Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. Comments so far? Josh, did you have more to say or more questions?
First of all, Wendy is a pretty cool chick.
Yeah, she sure is.
Yeah. No.
Can't wait to hear that on the podcast.
Oh, don't you tell her I told you.
Well, it's on podcast, dude. It's there forever. You know, everything you say gets
forever.
Recorded.
I forgot how the internet works.
We don't edit here. And I don't think I can anyway. So once you say it, it's there. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man, the internet. I think that that's actually something that could be an entire show about the love and wrath thing.
I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, temporal, like our concept of time and space and whatnot. I understand that. I was talking about, Maybe I didn't say it. And the master, I said the master.
No, you can always think about it too. And bring it up next time too.
Maybe the word creator.
Yeah. Well, no, think about bringing it up next time. You know, that'd be the thing to do. I mean, hold on for a second. I want to get Priyanki. We've got about 5 minutes left. Priyanki?
The greatest thing that came about is when the founders of the Constitution said that Congress shall not respect the religion. That was a great, great thing at that level of government. So at least
Said respect an establishment of a religion. Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of a religion. That's a little different.
Thank you for adding on to it. Yeah. But, what we here in the United States know is that which was created basically by a general by the name of Constantine. And much of, these concepts existed in societies like ancient Egypt and others way before 325 AD. You're talking about the Shittat Meta that goes back over 10,000 years, where the creator of the universe in those societies at that time was Ptah. But the Ha said, when I came into existence, existence itself came into existence. So people today have these concepts. But the main thing is that you have to respect other societies and their ethnic group and cultures for what they believe.
Well, that's why I asked the question, Wendy, too. Like I say, it never made sense to me that that a kind and generous and loving God would have all these religions around the world. And yes, they have different names for the one God, but there's some, but Hindu has three gods. Shiva,
you know
Rama,
why that is, don't you?
No. I'm not very big on
because
my
man,
Hindu.
Because uh-huh. man created gods.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm not
every
sure
ethnic group had their god.
So in Hindu, is there one god above the gods, the god that the Christians and Jews worship, or is it?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I know one thing is that there's been over 25 crucified saviors, and this one called Jesus was the last one. The Muslims look at him as a prophet. You had Heru, an Egyptian deity that done the same thing. Asar resurrected. Heru was born of an Immaculate Conception. Hatshepsut of the 25th, either the 18th or 25th dynasty, she was born of an Immaculate Conception because Amen was tired of mixed marriages. And that's written there on her, in her mortuary temple there on the West Bank there in Aswan. So that's what these people believe. I wouldn't call them what they're saying a lie. Just say that's their ideology, and you have yours.
Well, and that's something that I've talked to Wendy about too, because I disagree with that. It doesn't make sense. You know, and if God being infinite could have many sons of God or daughters of God throughout our history.
Well, I don't think you should disagree with Wendy. Wendy has come on the show with information, and I think it's for those. To listen
well,
and learn from.
Yeah. Well, I certainly
yeah.
question
well,
but I like your perspective on it.
Think,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I think she comes to deliver a message rather than to get into a debate. I wish she would spread that to the people in Congress.
Well, you know what? It's funny you should say that. Talk to Mama B, because she knows the various members of Congress. Maybe that would be something interesting. Maybe we can – I mean, I wish we had some kind of our government representatives listening to our show anyway. They should be. Considering the things that we cover and the things that we cover that nobody else does, and the questions that we ask, and the fact that we're completely open compared to the knee-jerk standard stuff that everybody else does. And I got Chansey on the line, so let's do quick comments, and I'll bring her on, and we'll have our Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. Josh, you have a final comment on this, or do you want to, or shall we press
on?
No, sir.
I want to hear from Chansey.
Okay, Jackie.
Bring on Chansey.
I will. What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative healthcare, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, crystal balls, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with Chansey Terry, because this is Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. I have so much fun making my themes. I have to make one for Mama B, our newest reporter here. Chansey, I've got to ask you the obvious question, the school murderer down in Texas. Mental instability caused by the school, the institution, psychotropic drugs, malnutrition, stress, all of the above. Do you have a take on this?
Yeah, he was paid to do it.
He was what now?
I said, yeah, he was paid to do it by the same ones that paid people to do all the others. You don't want my opinion on school shootings. You may want my opinion on all school shootings.
Of course I want your opinion.
But they come around at exactly the right time. I called it about 3 months ago. I said, watch, we'll have a school shooting next as soon as it gets close to summertime. And that's because they want the kids, and this is, again, all speculation, but I've been, the people that I talk to, that's how it goes. Real people do die, because a friend of mine's best friend's son was killed in the shooting, and another friend of my husband lives in the town where the shooting was. So it's a real shooting with real people dead, but those people died at the hand of the whole the game. It's the vaccine game. It's make you sit home and not want to send your kids to school game, because that's coming. Like you said, when gas gets $7 a gallon, we'll be excited to get another shutdown. We'll be excited to get another stimulus check. And so that's, it's all part of the
plan. No, I said
it was
going to be an open revolt. I said $7.50 a gallon is going to be an open revolt. California has to be
$10
a gallon because they're ahead of us.
Yeah. And so that's what my belief is. And the kid, whoever did the shooting, you won't see them. You'll see their pictures.
Well, they're dead.
The guns were on face. Well, yeah, you think. And so that's the thing. I'm just that way. I don't believe it. It goes back to the Las Vegas shooting. It goes back to every time there's a massive shooting like this, we hear, oh, the shooter's dead. Well, okay, how do I know that? There was a shooting in the Texas Walmart a few years ago. Same thing. They found pictures of him in totally different clothes in the you know, crowd. So I don't believe any of it. I believe that someone did shoot up the school, but I don't believe that the – you know, whatever. Like, we will never know the answer. There will be 15 articles about it. There'll be Facebook pages screenshotted. There'll be TikToks and Twitters and say he was on psychedelics, because of course they don't want us to do psychedelics, because ketamine has been approved for antidepression here lately. So
what's
we got to make people think.
What's that?
Ketamine is it's a psychedelic kinda. So like it's in micro dosing, it helps you get off of antidepressants. And my mom's been on it for a few times, but they've always done it too strong, so it knocks you out. But if you go with, like, a psychedelic person who is trained to just get you into that state of mindset, it's called microdosing. And so you microdose ketamine, and it helps the receptors in your brain do what they're supposed to do.
So how does this fit into the plan then? Is it just to make people fearful? Is it part of gun confiscation?
Yes.
Is it all the stuff we've been talking about before? Because we were comparing this to abortion, even the left. It'd be interesting if the Roe v. Wade decision comes out, you know, where the amount of preborn babies that have been killed is massive compared to the number of kids. I'm not saying either one of them is good. They're not. But what I'm saying is that there are a huge amount of abortions. We have kids that are killed with COVID shots. We have kids that have been killed by lack of baby formula. We have a government that totally destroys lives by destroying spirit and destroying everything else. You know, destroys all the boys through Ritalin and through telling them they're all toxic and masculine. So there may we should do a whole show on the many ways to kill people that don't involve actually physically killing them. But
exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. They're killing people, and they're just killing people. And so it's part of the plan, I think, is called fear porn. They have it to where people are addicted to porn fear. Like it's like you're watching porn and you don't even know that you're watching it. And so they turn on different receptors in the brain by thinking now they've attacked. Okay, now we've got to get back to the whole school thing. We've lost the school idea. Well, we're not worried about the school so much. We are, but we aren't. So let's have a shooting in a school that makes parents rethink sending their kids back to school after summertime. Let's make them homeschool their kids. You know, let's let them quit their jobs to homeschool their kids because we're going to pay them to stay home again. And that I'm just saying that that's like what I see coming. And I've been right. So I don't know. It's a thing.
But why
that
is that
maybe
a bad thing, though?
In past lives.
I think what
it's a great thing.
It's a great thing, except
for when these parents quit their jobs, here we go again. You know, who's going to cook my food? Who's going to clean my, you know, who's going to make this part at this factory? Who's going to do this? And so then we have this whole crisis where everything is made like shit again. You know, you buy parts that were made in COVID, it's falling apart. Mm-hmm. You can't buy a car. You can't buy a camper. You can't buy anything that was made during COVID. It isn't falling apart or a piece of crap. Yeah. So we're headed
If parents can work from home, they can work maybe before the kids get up. They have their school day. They can work after the kids, you know, are doing other stuff or playing sports or going to the government school for band practice or sports practice or the theater show. You know, I think that the work at home is a huge way to improve the amount of time that the kids can be at home and be, you know, partially homeschooled, partially government, you know, school for things that homes don't have, like, you know, the band, the sports team, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of advantages here. But I, you know, I'm trying to figure how this fits in you know, like why now? And so why did you predict that a school shooting was going to happen at this particular time? What's going
because
on now?
It happened, the virus and the pandemic. Anytime there's, and just like I said, as soon as Ukraine was bombed, I was like, y'all, it's not, or whatever, the Ukraine crap. I was like, y'all, this is all part of it. The Johnny Depp thing is all part of it. Distraction and reaction. They want to distract mm-hmm. you, and then they want to see how you will react to that. And so, again, part of the plan, we'll never know because these people are psychotic and they have 1,800 million plans going through their head at one time, and we're just all part of it. Like, they just do whatever they can, when they can, and then they're like, oh, that piece didn't work. Let's throw that piece out. Oh, that piece worked. Okay, we'll keep going there. And
do you think of that good, though? I mean, you know, my experience with, like, the world government, my reading of the history of them, they screw up a lot. They're not that good. I mean, they cause a lot of damage in the meantime, and they can kill millions of people.
Right.
But ultimately, they're not as good as they think they are. They're not as smart as they think they are. They're not as capable, and they don't understand the amount of resistance. You know, I said this before, too, that what they're doing is they're destroying the compliant people, and they're leaving us mavericks, you know, to be the ones left. It's like when you have a war, you know, the people that die in war are the brave ones. The cowards don't go to war. Mm-hmm. They stay home to rebuild the country after the war. So that's why Europe is the way it is. You put enough wars in Europe, you know, between World War One and World War Two, Europe became a socialist country afterwards because all the only people who were left were the girly men. You know, the brave ones were all killed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, if we can be perfectly blunt about this, but I don't see why a government that wants people government schools would want to close down the schools. I'm not quite sure how the connection there.
Yeah, you'll have to talk to a superintendent or something, but I just know they get, I mean, they'll get bailed out. They'll get a whole thing. It's like, oh, let's look at this shooting and look how much it affected this school, and let's send them some money. And then they won't spend that money on protection. They'll spend it on something else. They'll spend it on teaching indoctrination.
That was a big part of the news last night, too, that you got $40 billion for Ukraine. You've got $4 trillion for stimulus, green new energy, and a bunch of other nonsense. You know, you could have the world's greatest homeschool program. You could close, you know, you could create an entirely new system, or you could actually, you know, make those schools safe, as they say. I still think we should get rid of the government schools, but you could spend that money if you really want to make the school safe. And, you know, first of all, how did this person get in with a gun?
Exactly.
We don't hear about the security of the school. I mean, this doesn't make sense either. How did they get in? They walk into the school and nobody noticed? You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. How do you get into? So these little details are missing. And how about the Buffalo assassin? Where are they now?
I don't know.
They're sitting in jail.
I don't know.
You know, we haven't heard.
Yeah.
You know, where's the follow up? Where's the arraignment?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the you know, who's their lawyer? You know, I mean, so people get sort of swamped with all this. And then the other thing that might happen, you know, what if the Roe v. Wade decision gets released today? You know, on top of this, this is horrible. We can't have this. You know, then we got to ban guns and keep abortions. Mm-hmm. We're in a really screwed up world right now.
Yeah, we are, and we did it. We chose it. So, but no, like it's coming. You just sit back and watch. Stop watching the news. Stop watching the TV. If you've seen it on TV, it's already happened a different way than what you're seeing it on TV. It's not true. And I don't know. There's no other way to tell you that. It's just not true. Everything that you're like, if you listen to it fully, there's not one, there's not all of it together will never be true. And I am that person. It's like, I don't even know about the shooting. I saw one headline that said Texas something, something, so many people died. And I was like, well, duh. And then now everybody's sending me all this stuff. They're like, look, he was on psychedelics. Look, I was like, no, it's not real. He did it, and real people died because there has to be stories to be told. Oh, my niece died in that, or my uncle, or whatever. But the kids, I mean, they might have took him out, too. He might even gave his life to be taken out so that he could go kill a bunch of people. Who knows? But it doesn't affect me and you. It's over. Like, we're done. We pray for the souls that are died, that are dead, and there's nothing we can do about it. And that's how I feel. Like,
carry
move
your gun.
On to, again.
That's something you can
yeah,
do. Carry
I mean, yeah,
gun.
Carry a gun. I don't know. Yeah, get a gun and carry it, but don't get a gun if you don't know how to shoot a gun. That's another problem.
Yeah.
People get them to protect themselves, and they don't know what they're doing. So, I don't know. Smoke some cannabis and drink some wine, and you'll be fine. But no, like, it's not funny, but it's funny because I guess I just see how people – it's working. Like, what they're doing, just like Ben Marvel said, we're losing people. We're losing. This is a war, and we're losing because we're letting them get in our heads with all of this bullcrap. Like, stop, just ignore it. Unless you had somebody at that school that you knew and that you need to go be with right now, that doesn't impact your life. Just don't worry about it until it comes around to you. And that if we start living in that now moment with that now mindset, how am I feeling right now? Do I want to be a good person who doesn't shoot up a school? Okay, well, agree to that and make sure that you are that
And if you die tomorrow, you'll be okay, you know. So just worry about yourself. And then everybody else in your little realm will be okay too because you're worrying about yourself. And it's okay to be selfish. It goes back to that. If you're selfish, you have more to be selfless with. People think that you have to be one or the other. The English language is so bad. It's so simple that it becomes ignorant because we have these words and they mean way more than what they can mean, but we've put stigmas behind them. It's like, oh, I can't be selfish. I have to give all of myself away. And then you have nothing to give when you need it, when someone needs it. So take care of yourself, and then we can be that selfless human who goes to these places and prays for people or can jump on an airplane and go do what we need to do. But if we constantly are in worry, yeah,
we're gonna have Action Radio One, yeah. But see, we could talk about the whole idea of selfish, because I'm a big Ayn Rand follower. I can't read the books; I'm too ADHD. But the movies are great. The Fountainhead, particularly, The Fountainhead, fabulous film, talking about what you owe yourself, and that selfishness, you know, doing for yourself, creating for yourself, getting rewarded for what you do, is a good thing.
Yeah.
And this ridiculous idea that your whole purpose is to serve others is insane. You know, that when you give your life to others, you know, and the others will happily take it, you know, and then you have nothing for yourself. But every progress that's ever been made was an individual acting individually for themselves to do something that they wanted to do. That's just how it works.
Right.
Cassie?
Right. Screaming it from the rooftops. And you will always have people who do it for power. You will always have people who do it for love.
Well,
and
that's selfish, bad selfish. There's
right.
You know,
there
are you doing for self? You got to drop the ish. You know, are you doing something for self that you know makes your life better, that allows you to create, that allows you to live your dreams, and that is going to benefit other people. You know, the fact the light bulb is invented, you know, is credit to the person who invented it, you know, but and all the people that are involved, which is great. But look at the benefit. You know, Wozniak and Jobs that sat in a garage creating a computer. Were they being selfish? I don't think so. Did they do well by it? Absolutely. But so did the rest of us. Drop the ish and just talk about self, and it makes a lot more sense. Chancey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you look at any person who's created a wellness regimen or a supplement or a tincture or something like that that has worked, usually it was based off of their own need. Something happened in their life. Their close relative and or themselves were going through a health crisis, and they said, let's figure this out. Because if I'm going through it, other people are going through it. And that's what we need to understand. We are not alone ever. Whatever you're going through, someone else is going through it right now in that same moment. It could be across the planet. It could be anywhere else. So if you work on yourself when you're going through that stuff, you can't help but get knowledge for when you come across it again, and then you help someone. But then there are selfish gain. There are people who figure out how to screw people over to gain selfishly. Those people, they're doing it. They may have trauma in their life, and they may feel like what they're doing is revenge for everybody that's ever been through anything that they've ever been through. So that's not bad either to them. They think they're doing good, but that is their path. Let them live it. And so if you're living yours and they're living theirs and you cross paths, it won't work. Because you're being selfish for self and they're being selfish for gain, and you'll see it and you'll cut them out of your life. But if you're not living presently in the moment, you'll let someone screw you over. You'll let someone do to you bad, and then you'll blame either them or you'll blame yourself. And then that's okay too, because if we start blaming ourselves for things, it kind of opens up our eyes and it's like, well, how did I let that happen? Or why did that happen? Or why do I feel this way? And then you work at figuring it out and it doesn't happen again. It's like bad relationships. If you have enough bad relationships and you're working on yourself, you won't have that next bad relationship as long. You'll find you'll find what you don't like sooner. It doesn't mean that
coming.
You won't be in it.
you'll see the flags.
Yeah.
You know, which are always
and
waving.
That's the
it's
thing.
A question
Nobody,
whether you see them or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a question whether you see them or
so
not.
Much
but if you're all – go
yeah,
ahead.
Let's get our panel in here.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, go ahead,
yeah,
Jackie.
When you said that you don't think that you're the only one that's experiencing at the moment what you're experiencing, that not only applied to individuals, but it also applied to groups. Because I've heard people comment and say that this group experienced something like no other group in the history of the world have ever experienced. Well, that's just not true, and it's really unknowingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I was, personal story, I was horribly depressed about 7 years ago. Nothing had worked out. My life was a total mess. And what really helped was Facebook groups. And those of us who had like experiences, you know, from narcissistic families to a bunch of other things, you know, I did a lot of research, but there's some amazing people that helped me that were already further along in their process. And then I was able to help other people when I was further along in my process. And so just, you know, it wasn't a therapist, which was a joke. I tried that once for, no, that didn't happen. But what it really was like-minded people with like experiences. And so there's a tremendous, so Facebook actually, you know, this is one of the things that does well is the groups that you can talk to. And you may not want to be, you know, you may have a set up anonymous account or something like that, but just the experience that people are willing to share. And that I think is far more valuable than therapy, the psychotropic drugs, the whole bit. Which leads to another question, natural antidepressants. What do we got? What do we got?
Everything. CBD, everything that I talk about. CBD, breath work, all of that is antidepressant. It raises your depression. You cannot be in that low frequency of depression if you are doing those things consecutively. So, and we're causing it, though. So we're injecting people with depression. They have no choice. Unless, if they chose the shot, that was their choice. But or
which shot are we talking
now,
about?
Now, any of them, any vaccine from 1980, from whenever I was born, that's why if you've been injected with depression, it doesn't just happen. Your brain just doesn't quit working right. You don't just have a chemical reaction. This is all we've messed with God's creation. This is what I'm like, this is what I will be talking about until I can't talk about it anymore. After being with these doctors on Thursday and Friday, you can't tell me nothing because I've been telling people this stuff forever. And now I'm hearing it from doctors' mouths saying, yeah, we kind of messed up. We probably shouldn't have been putting this subcutaneously. We probably shouldn't have been putting this into their veins. We probably shouldn't have been putting this into their skin. Eh, now we know better, you know, but we've been messing with the chemistry of the creation of source, God, spirit, the soul that lives inside the body. And it's fighting every day to get rid of those toxins. And that comes out in depression, that comes out in anxiety, that comes out in obesity, that comes out in every health problem. So if you want to blame anything for anything that you're going through, it is something that you injected into your body that was not given to you at birth. So when you come out of the baby, when the womb, like whatever breaks the skin and whatever you inject it, it's just in, on, and around, what you've ate, what your environment, and what you're around. So in also includes things that we've allowed the big pharma, pharmaceuticals, to inject into our bodies. And that's okay. It's over. Being aware of that, don't do it again. No flu shots, no shingle shots, no pneumonia shots, no nothing. Don't take another shot, and you'll continue to live in the now moment. But if we continue,
I stopped shots in my teenage years. I didn't believe in them from then
on. But you know
on.
How
so,
many
yeah,
people
did? Something was wrong.
Yeah. I mean,
I
just saw a 14-year-old girl who had problems since she was born. Like, and when you start talking to the parents, I'm like, when did this start? Well, actually, we start looking back, and it was when she was an infant. But she couldn't tell if she was in pain. She would just roll her shoulders or like, you know, and things like that. And I'm like, this is what they do. This is what they do. They don't want the parents to know that. They're doing it, so they want the parents to feel this fear porn. That's what it is. And if you see it as that, when you start watching all this stuff, you'll turn it off real quick. You'll stop reading it. You'll stop looking at it because it's activating the same centers in your brain that would do. You're like, oh, I just need to go scroll like newsmedia.com or whatever it is and just see what bad things are happening. Even if you think you're going there to see something good, it's like, oh, did anybody save a rabbit from a whatever today? No, you're going to see a shooting in a school. But if you don't look at it, you live happy, healthy, and whole. And I know that sounds kind of like crazy, but just don't look at it.
That doesn't sound crazy at all. I remember after the Gulf War ended, they used to show every night, you know, the battles and the where the cruise missiles were blowing up, and everybody got all excited. They actually had parties. People would go to war parties, and they sit around, they watch all the things blow up, and then when the war ended, there was actual depression. People were like, oh no, things aren't blowing up anymore. What's going on? And it was like their power porn, you know, and so they had their bomb porn, and so it's fascinating the mass psychosis that goes along with all these different things. If you get into these, you know, there's porn, there's fear porn, there's all these different. I never thought about it that way until now. It's a whole new concept. I got to kind of work on this. But the mass psychosis, you know, is being induced in so many different levels, fear being the worst and, of course, the most easy to manipulate. I forgot that you went to the conference. And so can you tell me a bit about what happened there? It was a Thursday, Friday conference. And I'll get Cindy on this tomorrow as well. But what happened?
Yeah.
How was it?
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And so that's what I want to talk. I mean, like I said, I needed to go 4 hours live after the show because these doctors who have risked their lives, risked their livelihoods, risked their jobs, everything, they're telling it like it is, just like me or you would. If someone took everything from us, then we would be like, well, let me tell you what's happening because I ain't got nothing to lose. You know, what are you going to do, arrest me? And, like, they had bodyguards there for Brian Artis, who you're about to talk to. So I'm sure he'll go all into whatever he wants to tell you. But
actually, that's going on in 10 minutes. I'll still be on the air, but we recorded it Monday. So I'll be on Brian Artis' show, which is – we're about to get a whole bunch of new listeners, folks. This show is going to grow. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And you haven't edited. And I can't tell you all the things that are also happening. So so stick with us, guys. We're going to be very well known in this country here very soon.
Yes.
Things are definitely happening.
And I'm
but here's the thing.
I texted he wants me on there talking about energetics. So I'm supposed to be on his show about energetics because that's what he was saying. He was like, energy is the new medicine of the future. And it's also the war use of the future. And it's real. And so basically what the conference did is it confirmed every conspiracy theory Nancy isn't crazy. And that is including myself, is that I didn't care, even if what, because people ask me, how do you know this? I don't know. I just know. Just like with the school shooting. I just know. I just knew it was going to happen. And so that is the stuff that they confirmed, that if you've been here long enough, you see it as a spiral of hell. And they want to create hell on earth. And it is our job to create heaven on earth in our own atmosphere. And so we talked about the main thing that I wanted to talk about today, which is 8:51, we got 10 minutes, but was the fact of the hepatitis. Everybody's been asking me about hepatitis. It's like, where does all this hepatitis come from? You injected it into your child at birth. And so the hepatitis B vaccine is pushed on American children right after birth, flooding the baby's new immune system, an unnecessary intervention for most. This vaccine harms the baby because they have a low blood volume, low body weight, and an underdeveloped immune system. This shot is a mockery to parents who do not have hepatitis. And Brian Artis says it, I think it was, or it might have been Ben Gamble. He was like, are they in the, you know, infant place just in there having sex and doing drugs and alcohol? I don't think so. Should a baby be concerned about a sexually transmitted disease on their first day of life? Will they be sharing a needle with a prostitute or a drug dealer? Like, that's what's happening, people. This isn't random. Hepatitis doesn't just randomly happen in children. And you've ruined their liver with all of the vaccines that you took as a mother and then that the kid was given at birth. And it's not your fault fully because you've been forced to. But now you know, and once you know better, you do better. So quit injecting the children. And
we
then
had
it tells you, and then, so then we go into the measles and the monkeypox that is coming. So that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. It is coming. There will be skin rashes. People will be showing you things. And it's because our skin is our last line of defense. It says, I'm done. So when stuff is going on internally and you don't pay attention to it because you don't know your body, it comes out in the skin. And it says, hey, look at me. Something's wrong. So eczema, brittle nails, hair falling out, skin being dry and flaky, lips being cracked, those are all signs of dis-ease. But we look at them as like, oh, I'll put chapstick on, or I'll get my nails done, or I'll just go get a facial. Like your body's telling you something. So we're about to see people breaking out in rashes, and they're going to be contagious because they are from the spike protein that is just floating around in everybody's body at the moment. And so we need to understand that this is real, and this is like why they're doing what they're doing. It's another fear. Now it's going to be the whole leprosy thing. Don't touch people. You can't get around people. And I am. I am in danger, and I was confirmed that this past week. I'm touching people skin to skin. The shedding happens for at least 4 months of what we know. So if you are in skin to skin contact with someone, the person you're dating that got vaccinated, the person you're sleeping in the bed with that got vaccinated, maybe someone that you go visit daily that you kiss on the cheek or you hug or you whatever, just be safe and up your vitamin D, take CBD, and get some bee pollen, and put bee pollen in everything that you possibly can eat. It needs to be organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, and it needs to be in all of your food. So that was my main thing, is that people need to start doing something, because it's coming.
Do mothers have a choice on these vaccinations that they're injecting in newborns?
Yes, they do. And they want, it's just like how they don't want us to know that we had a choice. The fear... Dr. Thorpe is the best one for this. He has been told he tells everybody what he's supposed to tell the mother. He's like, if I were to do to the mother what the gynecology board wants me to do, I couldn't sleep at night. He was like, they make the woman feel like complete crap if you don't take them, and that you're going to harm your baby and all this kind of stuff. They freak them out, which is what they've been doing. But there is a choice, and that's what needs to be educated, is these women have a choice. And it was amazing. My niece is 7, and she's had all of her vaccines up till now. She's obese. She has skin issues. She has breathing issues. She has joint issues. And finally, her mother texted me and said, hey, I don't think I should be doing these vaccines anymore because of like all the vaccine stuff that's been out. So it's opened up people's eyes. What can I do? I gave her 2 websites to go to, and she's like, oh, that's simple. And yes, every state has their other, you know, there's different states, different things you need to get with your medical. Like you need, what I tell people is go to a chiropractic office, ask for a mother that has children that has been vaccinated or that doesn't want to get vaccinated. They're the best person to talk to. Any functional doctor can put you in contact with a woman who's fought this battle. And that's what needs to happen is there is groups, again, Facebook probably has them, of these moms that fight for this. And so because I'm not a mom, I gave her the website and I told her somebody to text. She said, I texted her. We got the website going. I'm getting my medical exemption this during the summer, and they're not getting any more.
We
and
do
so
that.
I think it's going
to
raise
that. Yeah, we worked on that earlier.
And good. That's what needs to happen. But there is a choice. Every time you have a choice. The military even had a choice. And I'm not in the military. I'm not speaking ill will of the military. And I know that their livelihood was at stake, and I hate it for them. All have a choice to take it. They did not hold you down and stick that needle in your arm. And that's where we failed. Just like I failed by doing things that I shouldn't have done. I wore a mask a few days. I did this a few days. It was if the more we resist, they will respect our existence. But if you do not respect my existence, expect my resistance. Because like if they stop, they're not respecting the fact that we live here on this earth and that we've made it this far. And they're trying to hurt us. So if you resist,
you know, another thing,
you don't have to revolt. You can just resist. But yes.
You know, another thing, I just found out here the other day that as a child, I was poisoned with.
Yes.
My mother made her own formula with Carol syrup, carnation milk, and I'm dead.
I love you, Bianchi. Yes.
What's your opinion on that?
It's killing people. I can't believe you're alive, you know, that your mom gave you real stuff and you're still here. You know, you didn't take that powder formula.
We went over the one that we posted, that I posted in the Action Radio group on baby formula. Yeah. I want to tell you a quick story though before you go, because this is kind of critical. First of all, fathers should also get involved in preventing vaccines for your kids. And I did that. One of the few things my future ex and I agreed on at the time was that our daughter was not going to get vaccinated. Well, they did it anyway. Hepatitis B in particular. And so I looked at the doctor square in the eye. I said, very specifically, you know, and at the time, this is like 25 years ago, we're thinking, okay, the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, that's a tried and true. That's been around for a while. DPT, diphtheria, pertussis, which is whooping cough, and tetanus. We thought, well, that one makes sense, but that's it. So we had a very, very limited schedule, and those are basically 2 shots. So we don't need Hep B. We don't need any of that other crap. So just don't do that. And they gave her a Hep B shot anyway. And I said, why the hell did you do that? We specifically told you not to. Well, she might sit on a bus one day when she's a teenager and sit on a needle. I said, are you effing kidding me? I said, we're out of here. And this was Kaiser in California. And we left. I said, I'm going to the nurse. I'm going to hesitate. We are out of this healthcare program. I literally left the program that day, that minute. So my daughter up to the desk. I said, we are out of here. You people are insane. You've committed malpractice. You've specifically done something I asked not to do. Mm-hmm. I was furious.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to watch. Watch the bottles. Yep. Watch the needles. If they say, we're giving this shot, you better make sure that there isn't anything else in there, even if you want a shot. And I still think that's free will, but I would advise against it.
Yeah.
And so it is so
they
critical.
Did that to my friend. They begged her for her baby. They came in 2 or 3 times. Hey, we need to take your kid for the vitamin K shot. Hey, we need to take your kid for the vitamin K shot. And then it's because they get paid to do it. Nothing's free. Nothing. The nurse, you're not getting paid to do it, but they are. They're getting paid for every immunization that you get. And now they've approved up to 6 in 1 shot. So you get mom and dad in the room and they, I've just got this one little thing, and they give your baby 6.
Well, here's a question then real quickly. When they do these studies, bogus as they are, on a particular vaccine, do they do it in conjunction with all the other vaccines they're giving at the same time? Bet you they don't.
No. And so they don't do it on children because they can't.
Right.
They don't do it on pregnant women, and they don't do it on children. They do it on rats and mice and whatever else, dogs and cats. Like, what? And we're believing
monkeys.
That?
Monkeys?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that HIV, they said, came from monkeys, and monkeypox came from monkeys? And what's the most preeminent lab animal? The rhesus monkey, you know, where your Rh
is
blood factor comes from? Monkeys. Yes. They've been testing monkeys and playing with monkeys for decades. I think there's a connection.
And it's a connection. And we know it, and it's hard for everybody else to know it, and we don't expect everybody else to know it. There just needs to be people that they listen to. Yeah, because I don't expect anybody to go into deep research every time. But if you're going to bring life into this world by accident or on purpose, you kind of need to know what your options are. And that's
you
just
do
fine.
A little research ahead
I mean,
of time.
Like, yeah.
And most of those accidents aren't accidents. There's willing participation. There might be denial, but I don't think there's.
Well, we've talked about this because my opinion on that is that there are because of rape and like incest and all that.
Well, that's
and there are some people that do choose to keep their child even in that situation because they're just freaking out.
Actions.
You know. So
those
are criminal
actions.
And but they still have that child to take care of. You know. And so either way, like once you find out you're pregnant and once you find out you're keeping it, whether you meant to or not, you need to figure your life out because you're about to birth another person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Pianki, and thank you. I think it was Josh. Is that who was
Josh
on today?
Is here too. Yep.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you all so much. I know we didn't talk much. It was quick and fast and to the point. But I'm here for all vaccine help, all wellness help. I can help you detox from the shot, but you got to be willing to. I can help you if you're going to continue to take the shot. Find somebody that'll tell you not to. So just get with me. I'm here for it. ChanceyTerry.com. Yeah.
Thanks, Chancy. And a lot of times on Wednesdays, we're going to have more time for you because we're not going to, you know, if I don't have a guest, you're always welcome to stick around. If you have to go, then you have to go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I just knew you had to play that video and I don't know how long it is. So I didn't want it to run into your 10 o'clock.
Well, there is nothing. We're doing fine. I've got this whole hour. I'm going to play my Santa Rosa Volunteers piece. I'm going to play my PSA on why you shouldn't take the COVID vaccine. I'll play a couple things here, take a little break. But I'm just telling you for future shows, if you want to stick around, if I don't have a guest at 9 o'clock, you're always welcome to stick around.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's all right. I'm the boss. I can do what I want. Go ahead, Jesse.
Jesse, come on. I have to write fast with my notes.
She just talked faster than I do,
which
is hard to imagine. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pianki. I'll slow it down for you. I thought of you the other day, and I don't know why. I told somebody I knew somebody from somewhere. Because where are you originally from?
St. Louis area. Hello.
St. Louis area. And you were born in St. Louis?
Yes, we were.
Okay, and did you live in another country, though?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I have lived in some other countries in Africa.
Africa, I was like, because you were talking about the wellness and the water and, you know, how they take care of, like, different stuff in different countries. And I was just, you know, it's good to know people that have experienced that and have seen people different.
You know, a funny thing, children, they're immunized themselves when they drink out of a trough that the animals drink out of.
I know, and that's what we're missing.
Think about it.
I know.
You look at that
as
being nasty, but those kids, those children are immunizing themselves. They're drinking out of the same trough that the cows and goats drink out of.
And walking barefoot on the ground, you know, with all the grubs and microbes in the ground, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
No clothes on. You know, some of them don't wear shirts. Even the little girls, like, they're getting sun. They're getting vitamin D. They may have the worst diet in history, you know, because they starved it, but they're living, you know, and I don't want that on anybody. But, yeah, and then that's why Fauci takes those shots to those kinds of country and pity the mother. If we can just immunize your child, it'll live forever. And then those children get diseases, and then they spread them to the whole village, and then half the village dies. So it's
had just some of the outrage for Dr. Fascist that we have for these school murderers, and they are murderers. I'm not reducing
they're
what they
murdered.
Do. But Dr. Fascist,
he did. He's
killed more people than the Civil War did. By almost twice as much.
Yes.
So you want to put things in perspective. One man, you know, and his health Nazis. Yeah, go ahead, Jan.
No, you'll be proud of me. I got asked to take a video down off of Facebook because I was going to get the Department of Justice after me. But it was Ben Marble telling that. He said, when was the last time you heard it? You were at the rally, but a lot of people.
I spoke it.
And so I recorded Dr. Viglione and Dr. Brian Marble. You know, just to record them, you know, just being like, look, these people are here. And so Ben Marble's out there saying, when was the last time we had a war that the leaders didn't die? Well, you know, these people need to die. And so I put that on Facebook because that's the answer. I mean,
that was too extreme. He's
right now.
We got to give him the action radio how to say
extreme.
It without saying it.
He's extreme.
You know, of course.
But he doesn't care, and that's what's so funny. And so that's why he doesn't have – you can't find him probably on Facebook, and he can't respond to people on Facebook.
Well,
he's
just to let you know, Ben Marble and Jim Thorpe and a couple of other folks are going to be on the show. I've already talked to him. I talked to him at the rally.
Yay.
They can't wait to come on. You know, in fact, yes. I give Ben Marble my favorite joke that we don't say rhinos anymore. We say transgender Democrats. He laughed his ass off at that. So he'll be
awesome.
Sharing that at future. Well, because, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of lines here. So, yeah, anyway.
We All do, right. yeah. And I mean, not that you want to go out and kill people, but like it was just, you know, if we're having a medical freedom rally.
I want to suffer, but I don't want to kill anybody. Uh-huh. No, I don't wish anybody any personal harm, even though they've tried to kill everybody I know, including me.
Well, yeah. And then, and I have a weird morbid sense of that is that like, and I heard y'all talking religion and spirituality and stuff like that about God. Like, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't know. I just have a vision of like, if someone took him out, that person did a job that they thought they were doing to help the world, and then that person that died just went on to the afterlife. So we can talk about that in a different show, but like, it's a lot.
Due process, constitutional rights. There's a way. There's a process that we need to go through.
Yeah.
Because there's too many innocent people. You know, how many innocent people have been killed because somebody thought that they were doing something wrong? See, when you go there, so remember, laws are to protect the innocent. Due process protects the innocent. You know, those technicalities and loopholes, as they say, protect the innocent. You know, so that's why a lot of this comes about. So even though you may want to kill somebody that you think the world will be a better place, you can't do it. Not because the world wouldn't be a better place, but because someone's going to kill an innocent person or a government's going to kill an innocent person. And that's the real tragedy. That's the tragedy that we can't have.
Chansey is definitely a fan of the Boondock Saints.
I'll take it. The Boondock Saints.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe it. I love it. Thank you.
Explain.
Yeah, I do. People start talking to me, and I kind of have to shut up because if I told what was going on in my head, they'd be like, "Wow, okay, sounds good. Go do
you
some more mushrooms."
Here.
And by the way,
hey, listen,
I've never done mushrooms. I've never done psychedelics ever in my life, and I act like this. But anyway.
Well, listen, I don't drink coffee yet. You know, we have a lot of energy here. No, this is a place you can't say it. I mean, like I say, with Ben Marble, I would talk to him about what he said. But in the same way, you know, Madonna wants to blow up the White House, and she's never been arrested for that, and that's a felony. You know,
exactly.
what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful of these things. But I don't mind controversy, but I'm not going to be needlessly stupid. You know, so we can talk about false flags. We can talk about things like that. But and if you're going to mention names, better be sure. But, you know, here's just one last thing before you go, because we're talking about personal and integrity of what you believe. You know, the minute that I announced that chloroquine kills COVID, I got censored hugely. I mean, our audience went to about, you know, less than 1% in terms of Facebook coverage from what it was. We had thousands and thousands of people viewing the post that I made for the show. And it is still reduced to this day to almost nothing. And it doesn't matter.
Yep.
I'm going with the truth. You know, March 2nd of 2020, we declared that there is no pandemic, that COVID is curable, it's treatable, the information is there. Yep. We had the studies from Zelenko and Dr. Raoult in Marseille, France. You know, in February, 27th, wrote a bill that Congress can only spend half its money on COVID vaccines. The other half has to be spent on early treatments and cures. We knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been broadcasting that truth ever since. You know, and I'm not going
to
back down one bit. And now
nobody
it's being
cares.
Proven right.
Yeah.
But,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to – I mean, that's the whole thing with the whole justice and stuff. I just get – I don't see it happening, but maybe it will, and I'm excited for it if it happens. I'm happy for it. But I am one of those generational people who have seen picketing and all, nothing comes of it. But maybe it does, you know.
That's
and
why I
I'm excited
radio,
to
darling.
Be in that.
Right,
I know, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
I'm excited for it.
I'm
here for it.
If only there were a nation founded on mistrust of government.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Here we are.
Amen.
Action Radio Island,
USA.
Somewhere in the Caribbean, a lost island of wayward misfits.
Yes.
We could do that.
Yeah, that's what we need to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, y'all are great. I hope y'all know that. And just keep fighting the fight. I'm serious. Just if you don't know enough to help someone about all this stuff, at least say, I don't know, but I know somebody that does, and if you need the help, we will do it in a non-conspiracy, non-threatening way. Like, we'll educate you and tell you how you can do these things. But I just like to rant and rave because I can, and I just want people to know that. But if you need education
on
why you should stop doing it.
You're on the show because you rant and rave. That's why you're here.
I know. But I also want people to, you know, to get help from me and not just be like, oh, listen to that crazy lady. She just tells it like it is. But, like, if you need someone, I've got them. I have plenty of people to help you. I have people that will help you raise your child outside of – yeah, just I will help you.
And the information, once again,
and
contact
doctor,
information?
It is chancyterry.com, C-H-A-N-C-E-E, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y.com, and that's where you find everything. Like, you know, at the very bottom, it has all the things. And then I have numbers and cell phone, and I'm a massage therapist, and we're doing energetic work. Dr. Thorpe is really huge into that, so I'm excited he's going to be on the show. He's a client of mine, and I love it. So, yeah.
Okay. I almost forgot one thing I have to tell you before you go. I got a request. Actually, Josie wants this. The protocols that Ben Artis talked when he was on my show. Do you remember those real quickly?
I do, but
the glutathione,
I don't know them out
and that
loud.
Kind of stuff? Okay. So
you can't
post them? Okay.
Yeah, I can post them. I just haven't read them. I know them in my head, like I could go find them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't have them wrote down, as in right now at this moment. But
I'll
find them for you. I meant to go back.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to do. But either way, they gave all that at the rally, too. So that's where my mind is in overload. Like, I have so many screenshots, so many slides, and it all needs to be got out to the public. And so
post
I'm working on it. But
post it all.
And that's why I'm telling you, if you don't, that's why it's so simple. CBD and bee pollen. And those two things are in the protocol. So start doing them every day. And then if you don't, and that's what I'm telling you. But there's, like, other things that he gave. But they talked about this, every one of them. Like, there was two naturopaths. There was doctors. There was all these things. There was New York doctors. There were people telling what worked. And it was, amazingly, Chinese herbs and things like that that grow in the earth that we've had forever. Yeah. And cannabis is not a drug. So that's Dr. G. Like, she was screaming that. She was like, cannabis is not a drug. It's a plant. To grow it in your own backyard, we have to this is the revolt that needs to happen, is that these people have been telling us that we can't do something, and we've listened, and we don't even know why. Have you ever studied hemp yourself? Have you ever studied cannabis yourself? Or do you just listen to what they've been telling you? So study it yourself. Take some yourself. Not the you don't even have to have the THC. Go to CBD, CBG, CBN, like all the things that we talk about, and I'm here for that. And she said, if people would just start growing it in their backyard, you know, she's like that. Not that you should, but she's like, that is the freedom that we have. We should just take it back. To grow whatever plant we want to, whenever. There's plants that are illegal in Florida. I can't remember which ones they are. But I'm like, why? Why are there plants that are illegal? Like, what? Who? It's like, but you can grow grass in a park and spray it with fertilizer and then let kids roll around in it and wonder why they have a rash when they go home. But it looks pretty, so green, beautiful. We can do that, and we can ruin their immune system, and we can spray the trees with mosquito stuff that creates mold that when the wind blows, the mold gets on the – so it's all the things. Like, their stuff's okay, but our stuff isn't. And so once we start seeing that, we start being like, why? Start questioning. Why? Why? And maybe you'll get an answer that tells you why.
That was good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Talk to y'all soon. If I don't hang up, I'm going to mess up the show.
I know.
I love
that's
y'all.
What I'm talking
about. You are a gem. Thank you, sister.
You are too. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Pianki. Y'all have a beautiful day. Thank you, Greg.
Careful. Oh,
yes,
my pleasure.
Thank you. I will.
Hey, listen, we're one big happy Action Radio family. I'm going to play some stuff. We'll be back in a few minutes. And then so you guys can take a break. I'll mute your lines. Grab some coffee, whatever you want to do. And then let's play some things here. And we'll probably have about 35 minutes to hash over this school thing I want to get back to. And we'll be back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now.
so that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Anti-Federalist 11 was written under the pen name Agrippa, who was a Roman general under Emperor Augustus. Interesting choice. It is thought that Agrippa was James Winthrop from Cambridge, Massachusetts. This paper is actually an accumulation of excerpts from letters. So let me simply point out the highlights and develop a theme. The title under which this paper is recorded is Unrestricted Power Over Commerce Should Not Be Given the National Government. So let's focus on that primarily and leave out the other fluff that always accompanies these papers. Agrippa says, "It has been proved by indisputable evidence that power is not the grand principle of union among the parts of a very extensive empire. The common conclusion from this reasoning is an exceedingly unfair one, that we must then separate and form distinct confederacies. This would be true if there was no principle to substitute in the room of power. Fortunately, there is one. This is commerce. All the states have local advantages and in a considerable degree separate interests. They are, therefore, in a situation to supply each other's wants." If you read only the Federalist Papers, you will get one set of facts designed to lead you to only one conclusion, that without the Constitution, the country will fall into factions which will destroy the Union. However, when you read the Anti-Federalist Papers, all kinds of new information, evidence, arguments, and possibilities show up, which proves once again there are always other options. Agrippa then says, "The complaints of the deficiency of the congressional powers are confined to two articles. They are not able to raise a revenue by taxation, and they have not a complete regulation of the intercourse between us and foreigners. For each of these complaints, there is some foundation, but not enough to justify the clamor which has been raised." Whenever you hear intercourse, think commerce and trade, and it will all make sense. Agrippa is saying these are problems, but not enough problem to abandon the Articles of Confederation. Regarding the giving of power over all commerce to Congress and protecting the states, Agrippa says, "Three restrictions appear to me to be essentially necessary to preserve that equality of rights to the states, which it is the object of the state governments to secure to each citizen. First, it ought not to be in the power of Congress, either by treaty or otherwise, to alienate part of any state without the consent of the legislature. Second, they ought not to be able, by treaty or other law, to give any legal preference to one part above another. Third, they ought to be restrained from creating any monopolies." Agrippa counters the argument that the federal government has to standardize all commerce under the Commerce Clause by stating that having the states retain some authority over interstate commerce wouldn't be much of a problem. He says, "The new Constitution not only prohibits vessels bound from one state to another from paying any duties, but even from entering and clearing. The only use of such a regulation is to keep each state in complete ignorance of its own resources. It certainly is no hardship to enter and clear at the custom house, and the expense is too small to be an object. Agrippa then says of the Constitution giving the feds all power over commerce, "The unlimited right to regulate trade includes the right of granting exclusive charters. There ought then to have been inserted a restraining clause which might prevent the Congress from making any such grant, because they can consequently defeat the trade of the outports and are also injurious to the general commerce by enhancing prices and destroying that rivalship which is the great stimulus to industry." Agrippa knew well the value of competition. In the concluding paragraph, Agrippa sums up his objections to taking all commerce power from the states and between the states. "There cannot be a doubt that, while the trade of this continent remains free, the activity of our countrymen will secure their full share. The credit of our merchants is, therefore, fully established in foreign countries. This is a sufficient proof that when business is unshackled, it will find out that channel which is most friendly to its course. We ought, therefore, to be exceedingly cautious about diverting or restraining it. Experience has shown that, instead of trying to lessen an evil by altering the present course of things, that every endeavor should have been applied to facilitate the course of law, and thus to encourage a mutual confidence among the citizens, which increases the resources of them all and renders easy the payment of debts. By this means, one does not grow rich at the expense of another, but all are benefited." And then Agrippa, in the last part, adds his analysis of human nature into the mix to again frame the argument against the Constitution. He says, "It is vain to tell us that we ought to overlook local interests. It is only by protecting local concerns that the interest of the whole is preserved. No man, when he enters into society, does it from a view to promote the good of others, but he does it for his own good. All men, having the same view, are bound equally to promote the welfare of the whole. To recur, then, to such a principle as that local interests must be disregarded is requiring of one man to do more than another, and is subverting the foundation of a free government." In that last sentence, it's quite clear that not only giving Congress the power over all commerce subverts the independence and sovereign rights of the states, but the entire Constitution does, which is the main argument of all the anti-federalist papers against rushing into a completely new form of centralized federal government. Their choice is amending the Articles of Confederation to keep the independence of the states while giving the federal government a better range of defined powers for the good of all the people. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news,
We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
All right, let's bring our callers back in our panel discussion today. And basically, we've got kind of a free-for-all for the rest of the time. I've got more topics. I can continue with that article on the ways that schools destroy. What was the article title here exactly? 13 ways public schools incubate mental instability in kids, because I think that's the real problem. We're not looking at the schools themselves as the problem with these tragic murders. Josh, welcome back. Pianki, welcome back. Any comments on anything you've heard so far today? Feel free.
Yeah, no, when it comes to the education thing, go ahead and throw a little bit of my background out there. I actually dropped out of high school at 16.
Wow.
My final straw was bickering with my history teacher.
Oh, what?
She turned out to be – well, we were talking about, the foundation of America, and she said everything was – oh, she was a feminist, by the way. This is back in 2006.
Were you toxically masculine? Did you have Ritalin issues? What are they trying to tell you? Were they trying to drug you?
I was appropriately masculine in that situation, yeah.
Okay, good. That's a good term. I like that term. I'm going to use that. I'm not toxically masculine. Yeah. I'm appropriately masculine.
There you go. Yeah. No, make sure. I'm not going to say tattoo it on anybody, but yeah. I was bickering with her, and I had already started working. So going to school for me at that point was kind of tedious. It was like, I understand why people go here. You're going to get a diploma, I guess. And you have a potential to get a job later. I'm already working now. And I went to her class and we started bickering. And she had the audacity to say, if you don't make it here, you're not going to make it. And I was like, lady, all you know is school. I was like, I don't think you're an authority on anything that has to do with life outside of this place. You literally went through school, then you went to college, and you came back here. You don't know anything about anything.
Went to school, went to college to learn about school, and then went back to school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, dude, this is all you know. You don't know anything. You're like, have you ever swung a hammer? Have you ever ripped up carpet? Have you ever painted a wall that somebody else painted you?
Served a meal, cut someone's hair,
exactly.
Laid bricks.
Yeah, have you ever done anything for anybody else?
Yeah.
But that's a funny situation. We got into a little thing about it, and I was like, look, nobody should take advice from you. If you were a little bit older and you had a little bit more life experience, maybe I would respect you. But you're probably, 6 years older than me, and you're
funny.
Here. Yeah, nothing sweet about that. But yeah, no,
babies
teaching
babies.
Kind of a...
That's like flight instructors
who are
19 years old teaching
60-year-old
kind of
flies.
It's
like, I have 150 hours in the air. What do you only have, 100 hours? Yeah, let me go ahead and teach you everything you need to know about the knobs that I've been using.
Yeah. I'm going to the article here, so I want to have you sum up your point, cut to the chase, as it were. Then I want to check on Pianki real quick, and then get some of these things here. Well, let's do that now. Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, what he's claiming the schools are doing to children is what parents are not doing to the schools, because parents, the stakeholders, the district is controlled by the parents.
Mm-hmm.
State legislature gives that authority. In Missouri, the curriculum, textbook, and instruction material is dependent upon whatever the district, quote unquote, the parents want it to be, and they don't take that responsibility.
That's not true.
What's not true?
Wait a minute.
You made a statement said that is not true. Now, what's not true?
It's not true that the parents dictate the curriculum.
Now, let me explain this something to you. That's what the state statute says. Now, it is true that if they are not taking advantage of the powers that's given to them, which really they were born with, then who else is responsible for not implementing what needs to be done in order to circumvent what's not being taught to the children?
That's a whole lot of negatives. I'm saying that the school board affirms, and they're actually the ones that sign on to the curriculum. The parents can vote school board members in. It's the same thing all across the country. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's because it's not – the reason why come the school board is doing those things, and, you know, it's the same school board that only limit parents to 3 minutes of conversation at a school board meeting, which is totally preposterous. The parents of a district, quite natural, is whose children? It's their children. That's
right.
Why some of you have private schools where the parents that go to these private schools have the right to also influence what's being taught. Charter schools, the same way.
What's the difference, though?
Charter schools allow things to be done outside of the school district itself. Charter schools
yes.
are public schools, but they have a governing board that consists of parents and whoever else that the citizens that's going to send their kids there, the founders of that charter school, choose to be. So, no, in Missouri, like I said before, the state statutes give that power to the parents. And further, it says that the State Board of Education and the Department of Education, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, better known as DESE in Missouri, cannot dictate anything else.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
okay.
if the government schools and the private schools each got a share of the education tax dollars. If they shared equally, then however much went to government schools went to private schools too. That'd be fascinating. All right, let's go back to this article here. We got 13 ways public
yes,
schools
sir.
Incubate mental instability in kids. So I'm going to take these one at a time and see if we can finish this in the next less than half hour that we have. The first one is the size and model of mass schooling is alienating. And it says back in 1929, 1930, there were about 248,000 public schools in the United States, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. How many today? Far less than half. By 2013, 2014, the number had shrunk to 98,000. So this I didn't know. The schools had shrunk by that many. Okay. It says when you consider that the U.S. population nearly tripled in that time frame, there's no question this factory model of schooling has grown exponentially. The numbers speak to the intense bureaucratization of a public school system that is becoming more centralized with less local control, packing ever larger numbers of students in one place. The natural effect is an emotional malaise that fuels a sense of confusion and detachment. I believe the sociologist Emil Durkheim, that's Durkheim, coined the term anomie, A-N-O-M-I-E, to describe this sense of isolation. Even the physical architecture of public schools is getting more estranging. They tend to be larger and more looming, almost Blade Runner-like in their effect of shrinking and sequestering individuals to irrelevance. There's already much to be anxious about in those settings. The intensity of testing, the long days, the labeling, the constant social and now political expectations that students must meet to fit in, the alienation of amassing larger groups of children enhances that. I had no idea we had almost 250,000 schools in 1930, and that by 2013, it was down to 98,000. That's insane. I thought there would be more schools at this time. Apparently, there are fewer. Josh,
the understanding that kids into a classroom, therefore the children are not being paid attention to. There's no individual contact. It's just a teacher kind of giving a speech in front of the classroom like a professor. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense to me.
Okay, Bianchi?
Well, you know, really you have less children in classrooms. I think the average classroom in the school district around St. Louis Public School, the average population is about 12 students. Actually, you look at Detroit public schools back in the 1990, they had over 100,000 students in their school district as a population. Mm-hmm. The most recent information that I've read is about 50,000 now. St. Louis public school at one time over 100,000. Right now, they're down around 25,000. So actually,
yeah, but this is a nationwide thing. So unless the kids moved out of the country, you know, they're going to be going somewhere else. But the point is that schools are getting larger and the number of schools is getting fewer. That's got to mean something.
Well, I don't think the schools are getting larger. Now, I've built, in my profession, I've built at least eight schools in St. Louis Public School District. It's not that they're getting larger, but it's what it is that there ain't no kids. Some of those buildings of the Wainwright era was designed to handle up to 2,400 children, maybe 3,000. Now you'd be lucky if you get 150 in the school building.
Well, are people moving away from St. Louis?
Yes.
Well, they moved away from St. Louis.
Yeah,
they are.
No. Yeah, I know they are, but I'm saying, is it fair to say that they're trying to centralize this a lot and they're building up the size of the schools and placing a lot more students in front of lesser and lesser teachers?
I've sat in some classrooms where you had a teacher and one, maybe two assistants. You only had 12 or 15 students.
Well, the biggest problem is the individualism is gone. Let me get to the second one here. Public schools are abnormal settings that feel like prisons. But Dr. Peter Gray at Boston College has studied in depth the harmful effects of mass schooling on children's mental health. Gray makes the point that school is simply an abnormal setting for children. But instead of admitting that, our culture prefers to say that the children are abnormal for squirming. In short, school is a prison that actually causes trauma in children. You can read more on this subject, and he's got like four articles there. He says anxiety is a natural effect of being cooped up in a compulsory setting for hours on end, especially when you believe your future depends on your performance there. We heard about that. We were talking about Josh's school incident. Yet few consider that environment as the cause or source of depression. According to a neighbor of the shooter in the recent Florida case, the shooter, quote, always had his head down. He looked depressed. According to his public defender, he's sad, he's mournful, he's remorseful. He is fully aware of what's going on, and he's just a broken human being. Schools or prisons? Comments?
I don't believe in that. I think this author is trying to exploit a event and with some information that that's not true.
Well, I think, are they abnormal settings? I think in a large way they are.
Yes,
you know,
there
was a time when we had one-room schoolhouses where kids were working with their parents on farms. There, a lot of them are homeschooled. You read the Civil War letters, you know, from the soldiers that had no education, and the letters were perfect. You know, their grammar is better than mine, you know, in a lot of cases. And
well,
how did they get that?
I don't think they are. You know, there was at one point in time, there was what you call cultural themed schools.
Mm-hmm.
In Kansas City, they had Greek magnets. They had Latin magnets. They had African-centered curriculums. They in New York, they had Italian-centered curriculums. In Detroit, they had Native Barrier School, which had a Native American curriculum. So, no, I don't say that they're abnormal. I think, as I said before, that this author is exploiting an event.
Okay. That's fair enough. Josh?
I think it's absolutely abnormal. The way that we've been operating in our education system is wholly formed based on necessity from the world wars, and we line kids up to be, you know, in lines, and they respond to bells, and that's the same stuff that they were doing in factories.
Mm-hmm. And prisons.
I mean, we already know this.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I don't know how.
Schools are on a factory model. We talked about that in an earlier show, that the architecture of schools, you know, they're basically the rooms like cells.
You're talking about the prison mentality of it, and I'm talking about the prison mentality of it too. Because, there is a division in most major cities for kids that skip school, and they will go out and ticket, fine, cite, and jail parents for not forcing their kids to go to these institutions. It's called truancy officer.
Yeah, that's another problem with education that's forced. I remember the best education time I ever had in school was in Australia in the sixth grade, where we had basically the teachers, they tried to experiment. They let us go for about 2 months. And they said, here's how much work you have to do in 2 months. You know, here's how much, here's what we expected. It was the regular school curriculum. You can read on your own. You can talk. We're going to have certain classes. But for a lot of time, there's going to be independent study. I think I finished in about 2 weeks. You know, and then I said, what am I going to do now? And I said, well, can we play chess? Oh, yeah, you can do that. So for how about Monopoly? Well, we did that. So within a month, everybody had finished 2 months worth of work, and we were playing all these different games and things and debating and doing. And it was great. So kids left to work on their own can exceed all these ridiculous expectations. I think school is designed to hold you back with boredom, with irrelevant material, with a lack of quality teaching and inspiration. I only have like maybe 10 really good teachers, you know, from kindergarten all the way through graduating college. But it let go.
No,
students could do far more.
Yeah. They do have
the lack of incentive.
One at a time, gentlemen.
To better yourself. I'm sorry. The lack of incentive that comes with education today in a lot of our educational institutions, that is the problem. It's very easy to inspire a kid. You give a kid freedom and you tell the kid, learn what you want to learn. I will give you every book on anything that you could possibly
learn.
No,
we had a program. We had a program. We had books that we had things we had to read. We had assignments we had to complete based on the readings. We had all kinds of stuff. A certain group of us just went through it like knife through butter. We just plowed through the material. It was fun. Let me get to Bianca and I want to go on to the next one. Yeah, okay, quickly.
Okay.
I got a lot to cover.
Like I said before, that all goes down to the parents. I used to go around the country and sit in the classrooms, outstanding all-black schools. One, Marcus Garvey Academy. Mm-hmm. They're on 6th and Fulton in South Central L.A., where you had kindergarten students that was studying from college textbooks. You had 6th graders that were doing advanced calculus, 7th graders that were passing their GED and passing their college entrance exam and entering college at the age of 13. So that was because that's the direction in which the parents pushed that school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And my two favorite teachers, Jaime Escalante, who was a Hispanic teacher who had his kids doing advanced calculus in some L.A. school. And there was – I've forgotten the name of the woman who had freedom writers. They actually got a Holocaust victim in to talk about the Diary of Anne Frank. And they had writing – she was a writing teacher. And, then, of course, all the students went on to win all kinds of competitions. So it all comes down to teaching. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the problem is not the teachers, well, some of the teachers, but the problem is the restrictions, the curriculum, all the other things they get. Let's move on here. I'll call this the mean girls clause. Number 3, public schools are breeding grounds for hierarchical cliques. In large settings that promote conformity, people will naturally self-segregate into smaller groups. Yeah, I was one of the band dudes. But the groups tend to be hierarchical. At the top are the popular queen bees and jocks who tend to make it their business to oversee and regulate relationships among their peers. The diva students sort and label their peers in various ways, such as brainy, prudish, a-hole, and geeky. It actually says this in the article. Their lesser peers duly gravitate to a group that accepts them. At the bottom are those deemed weirdos or loners, who tend to face intense ostracism. That dynamic only hardens their situation as isolated, alienated individuals. So why can't we guess which social strata, you know, school shooters tend to come from? Well, obviously they're telling us. Gentlemen?
No, it was actually pretty funny because the people that didn't fit into a group, and I don't know if I really did, I ended up being the vice president of Asian Club, and as you know, I am white as snow. But no,
you're president of the Asian Club?
That's
interesting.
Yeah, no, I was. No.
Okay, I believe you. I just find it interesting.
Yeah, one of my best friends in high school was from Vietnam, and his family invited me to go back to his house. His family's like home because they maintained it because they paid. And I was like, no, I'm not going to Vietnam. There's no reason for that.
You should have gone. You had a great experience probably. Yeah, I've been different. Hey, listen, I grew up in 3 countries. It's not a bad thing to live in different countries. In many ways, it's good. My family situation made it tough. But personally, I loved the, you know, visiting different countries, although I had a tough time coming to the United States. Let me get to Bianca's opinion on that, and then we'll go to the next one here.
Well, you know, it still goes back to the parents. Take the Nigerians. Nigerians have the highest education attainment than any other ethnic group, including Asians, of course, including whites. Mm-hmm. But look at the type of family background that they come from and what the importance of education means to their family. That child is not only trying to do things that's going to make himself proud, but he's told to make his family proud. And that's the culture. The child is going to bring the culture that they grew up in, just like the language. They used to criticize black children for speaking the language that they heard at home which was labeled as Ebonics. Well, there's nothing wrong with them. That's what he or she heard and spoke in the house. Just like as a Vietnamese child, like the gentleman mentioned, if they came here to the United States, the first language that they're speaking is Vietnamese. So is that a derogatory language like they wanted to acclaim Ebonics was? No.
Yeah, but the difference between a national language and yeah, but I don't think of Ebonics as a language. You know, it was interesting because I had different accents, you know, where I went.
Ebonics
is a language. It's what the child spoke at home before they went to school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I came to this country with a Canadian, you know, language, which is different. I mean, it's all English, but they're different words. Australia has very different. I mean, there's no such thing. You say gasoline, they don't know what you're talking about. It's petrol. You know, and so
I do appreciate you not saying A after all of the questions you ask.
Well, hey, if you want me to talk in my Canadian accent, hey, well, we can do that.
Do your Canadian right. accent, Maple. Okay.
That would bring my Australian one too. Okay, next one. Giant public schools are breeding grounds for aggression. Public mega schools, December 4. Public mega schools are breeding grounds for relational aggression, behaviors intended to harm peers, social standing. This, and here it is, mean girl dynamic gets reinforced in the schools and youth culture as it's modeled and promoted over and over again in hundreds of movies and TV shows geared towards teens. Aggression, what do you think?
No, I don't think that a public school is what it is. You know, and there's different models. You have what's called reverse classrooms, where the students go home and listen due to technology and listen to the lecture at their convenience. And then when they come to class, they discuss in groups or what they learned or what they picked up in the lecture. So there's different models and different methodologies of getting points across. So if it's – now, there are cliques in certain schools, in certain neighborhoods, absolutely. Practice on the street in rivalry –
they're in sports teams. There are theater groups.
What's practice on the street in rivalry ends up in the classroom in the school building among these individuals.
Yeah, if you're bringing your outside groups into the school. Well, I think anytime you get large numbers of people together, you're going to have cliques. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But it just
it's the same thing in the prisons, right?
Oh, yeah, prison gangs.
Well,
yeah, that's for sure.
Isn't that the last topic is how schools are basically prisons?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. Yeah. Number 5, school bureaucracy
tends to
reinforce.
Well, that's the same thing in churches too.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you got the priest and you got the choir and the altar boys and you know, whoever
else
is there.
They're all beating the crap out of each other. Not the same.
No.
Next.
Well, pecking orders.
Well, they may not do it physically, but they may do it in words.
Well, let me see if I can provide a little bit of, you know, first of all, I think that groups naturally form. I mean, I was in a group of band musicians because we had a like interest. People on sports teams have a like interest. I don't see a problem with that. But when it gets hierarchical to the point where it's destructive, where kids are getting ostracized and bullied and problems like that, then you've got a problem. Now, we actually had a bill on this earlier from back in my WEBY days, Every Kid Belongs. And the whole idea was to have every kid involved in something. Extracurricular, whether chess club, drama club, sports team, music, theater, didn't matter what it was, you know, bowling, ballet, I mean, we didn't care, golf, didn't matter, as long as kids were involved in something. And I proposed that bill 4 or 5 years ago. And people said, well, you can't have compulsory action over kids. Well, then what do you think schools are? But if you have programs where kids belong, it doesn't matter what they belong to, as long as they belong to something. And then the point was, it had to be a group, and it had to have adult supervision. Boy Scouts would count.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the reasonable trying to incorporate kids into group activities so that they can socialize and how dare you, sir?
Well, I did.
You know,
you might as well ask me that every day.
I went to
Go ahead, Bianchi.
Greg, I went to a technical high school. That technical high school had automotive, body and mechanic. It had aero mechanics. It had pre-med, pre-engineering, bake shop, cosmetology, sheet metal, welding. So in those classes, you know, you went to class for 3 hours in the morning taking your regular subjects, and the rest of the day you went to those shops. There was a cohesion amongst those in those particular shops, should we say, in those areas. So, yes, that's just a natural thing.
Well, that's because kids doing what they're interested in is different than social groups that are to the detriment of other people. Yeah. Go ahead, Josh. I want to move on.
Yes, sir. I was just going to ask real quick, answer quickly if you can. Your high school offered stuff that would prepare you to go to college courses and potentially land you a career almost immediately out of high school?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah. Did you have to try out to make that school? Is that something that you had to apply for?
You was tracked into it. You was tracked. They had track one, track two, which I think is a good thing because you are actually looking at the ability, the inherent ability of the students. Some students won't be very good at being a welder. Some students would be better at being in pre-med. So the same thing you do in football combines and on basketball camps, right? You see who would be best for a forward, a center.
So what do you think I should have been recruited into? Then we got Josie.
Don't let me answer that.
No, I'm going to let you answer that. Now that you put your foot in it, what should I have been recruited into?
I don't know as much about you in other things other than what I hear you.
Okay. Well,
I can't see you.
The schools wouldn't have known anymore when they tracked me either. Let's get Justin.
Well, you know, my grandson was young. I had him in African drum and dancing. And I looked at his footwork, and I say, well, he would be a good infielder, which he is today. He plays college baseball. So, yes, you can look at a child, and there is ways to assess an individual to see what they would do well. India does it. India has been doing it for since the 40s.
Russia, China. Everybody in China and Russia is programmed for what they do. They don't have choices. And in fact, the old English schools used to do whatever your father did, that's what you did. Anyway, Josie,
exactly.
What do you think?
In many cases, you're right.
Yeah.
I flew
Josie,
a plane.
What should I have been tracked? Hold on, guys. Hold on. I'm going to get Josie in. Josie, what do you think I should have been tracked into in the third grade? Where would you have put me?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I hope it's not too loud. I'm on the bridge here.
No, you're fine.
My personal, as a mom, I put my daughter on a private school.
Mm-hmm.
I believe public school should be shut down. They're so corrupt, and what they're doing is brainwashing our children. Now it's in America. So I believe over 2.1 million children did not return to school after the lockdown because the parents realized what was going on with their children's life in their public schools.
Good
point. That's what I heard a couple of days ago, actually. So this lockdown, it turned to be good for the children. And like Bianchi was saying, a lot of young people should take a two-year technical or school because college is not for everyone. And that way they can be plumbers, welders, fixing air conditioning, any type of work like that. One of my
don't we have two-year technical colleges? Can't you go to an associate's degree in things? Yeah.
They do have technical colleges, but a lot of parents, my child has to go to the university. And you know what? They're just so corrupt. No good.
That's child abuse.
Or the military. I encourage send them to the military or a two-year program. My friend in Miami, his son, he was struggling with high school. He was a bum. He just didn't want to do anything. And he barely graduated from high school. And he started working, like Josh was just saying, the experience teaches more than the school sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, he started working in Miami for the collection. And they train him. And this young man, he makes over $100,000 per year.
Wow.
He's an expert with computers, fixing all those DeLorean and all the Porsche and expensive cars in Miami. Let me tell you, college would have never done that for him. Never. You know. So it just goes to show that a lot of young kids should do better without college. And, you know, I love school for kids. My daughter was wasting my money in college. He was getting an F. I said, get the heck out of there. You're wasting my prepaid college fund in Florida that we do. And then she went back on her own. And, you know, she's getting straight A's now because I wasn't pushing her. So now she's doing good. And the sad part that the prepaid college in Florida, they give you 10 years from the day you start college. So I was on the phone the other day because my daughter's college was going to be ending in August, and she really wants to go to college now, of course. And I called them, and I made a big think about it, and they extended for 2 more years my money. So I'm excited about that. It's my money. I should use it whenever I want, but, you know, that's not how it works. So anyway, that was my point.
Hey, Josie.
Yeah.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm good.
4 minutes, Josh. Cut to the chase. We've got limited time.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. Did you just say that when it was on your dime, she didn't try that hard, and then when it was on her dime, she tried very hard and succeeded?
No. The college is prepaid since she was born. I've been paying. So it's paid for. But once you start college, you got a 10-year period to finish. If not, they cut you off. And it was going to be cut off in August. And now she really wants to go to college. And the thing was going to end in August. So I made a big thing about COVID and all these things. And now they extended for 2 more years. So I said, you better get with it now. So that's what she's going to do.
Oh,
you,
so the
you know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
It still goes back to the parents. Let me ask you a question. Do you know why come blacks excel and dominate National Basketball Association and the NFL? I could take you around to some parks in the city, and I can show you why.
Okay.
That's because that's what the parents push those kids in those areas. You wouldn't believe what these kids are doing at a very early age, whereas the possibility, I have a nephew who's a number one high school pick wide receiver in the nation. You wouldn't believe what his father had him doing. And his father, I used to take camping when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the parents. Some kids come from parents that's thoroughly versed, and then some, well, they just the run of the mill.
Yeah, but there's a difference between encouragement and promotion and just outright demanding oppression. You know,
it's demanding. I demanded that my grandson take engineering, baseball, and academics. And I told him you can do whatever you want to beyond those, but those two was going to be your main focus, which he stuck to.
Yeah. Well, you look
but
at
you
Tiger Woods'
Greg,
dad. Tiger
Greg,
Woods' dad had him playing at what, three?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yankee is absolutely correct. The school starts at home, not at school. So it's the parents that encourage and lift up the kids to become somebody in life. Because I have seen a lot of young black women, they come to my store, and the way they treat the little kids, I was like, oh my, and I think I told you on the show before, this 3-year-old little kid, he was behaving bad. And the mom, the first thing she did, she said, I'm going to call the police on you. I said, don't. Take some action. You're whipping him in the butt if you want. Don't tell him that. So at 3 years old, she told him she's going to call the police on the little child.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianchi's absolutely correctly. You have to mold your kid. That's why God gave you that gift, for you to train him in the ways of the Lord and in the ways that they should go. And that's why, you know, like a lot of Latinos and blacks, they don't get married. They just have kids and kids and kids and kids. And my mom was one of them. She never got married. She got married when she came to the state, actually. But we were illegitimate children. And this is happening to a lot of low-income families. They just don't take life serious, and their children, too. So, anyway.
Well, there's a lack of ambition.
Okay.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds.
Okay, never mind.
Well, okay. Well, you had 30 seconds.
My wife that I'm married to now.
Over the past 6 decades. But go on.
All right, hold on. Let's give the last word to Pianchi, and then they'll be up for today. Go ahead,
my wife that I'm married to now, it would have been a shame to the family if it wasn't done in a particular way. So there we are.
Yeah. Interesting. Great discussion, David. This hour, they were just airing my appearance on Dr. Brian Artis' show, so I'm going to have to go check that out. I think it's brianartistv.com or something like that. You can find it. It's on my Facebook page, but and on the Action Radio Group page, you can find it there as well. Or just look up Brian Artis. It'd be easy to find. Chancey's going to be on. I just heard that today, so that's exciting. Action Radio is about to go through a huge explosion of growth, so y'all hang in there. We're going to times are going to get interesting, and when we are majorly affecting the national debate, all this will be worthwhile. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We have moved our time up an hour, so 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific. And if you want to catch the show, blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction, live or podcast, and our legislative website where the real action happens is www.writeyourlaws.com, WRATEYOURLAWS.com. See you all tomorrow.